Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, October 18th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. I was actually not going to be doing a show today. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, I was able to make this happen today. There's a lot of things that I really wanted to bring to you that I've been having over the last couple of days that I think are very important to talk about. And I was going to have to wait until Monday, but so be it. We're here today to talk about this stuff. And it's stuff that's very important to all of us. Censorship we're going to start off with today, but it's not just in regard to this channel, but censorship in general and how it applies to a lot of things happening today. There are people that are arguably things that being censored before all of this COVID situation would have been a huge deal. You know, such as someone like Scott Atlas. And it's happening now in the middle of all this, and one side's okay with it because other side bad guy, right? We're in the middle of our own ridiculous two-party paradigm, you know, foreign policy version as we are in this country right now, where we're missing everything that's going on because the other side bad guy. And it's not our side doing it, of course, right? And this is how we see it. And this is the problem with where we are right now. As I so often talk about, the real important part about this is when you can begin to see the government as one entity, as you should, because they're one entity ruling over you. But when you can see them as that one entity, it becomes much easier to see how this all fits together, how the psyops from both sides of the two-party illusion work in tandem to control your perception. And we're going to see that happening today in a lot of different ways, how ultimately it allows the other side to pretend like they're not part of it while using other parts of the narrative. And if they were simply just to stand back and see how they're using both sides of the narrative, it suddenly becomes, well, our government's deceiving us. Not that the right's doing it or the left is doing it, that they are deceiving you. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. We're talking about censorship, a little bit more on masks. Sweden is the big one today. There's a farcical article from Time magazine that was actually, I first saw it on Tony Heller's channel. I'll show you that when we get there. That really just tries to, like, they're outright attacking Sweden for getting it right. And in the most shameless, unjournalistic ways you could possibly imagine. We're going to touch on vitamin D a little bit, interestingly enough, that I thought, and you know, this, we've very much stayed away from talking about treatments and different things, just as a choice on my end. Not that that's not an important conversation, but this is something that's a little bit different in regard to what I think actions that are being taken. And of course, the big one, ID 2020, immunity passports, and how this is very clearly the reason that they're not and this is my opinion, but I think very clearly the reason they're not leaning into the you're going to have to take this vaccine because we tell you to, like they've done so many other times before this. Because they don't need to anymore. They're modeling themselves after China. They've been telling us this for a long time. And you know what they're doing over there? Immunity passports. They're doing biometrics and control mechanisms in every possible way. It's really social credit is what it boils down to. And immunity passports are just one part of that. You do what the government tells you. Otherwise, you get marks and you can't fly on a plane. You can't go in the restaurant. You can't buy things from the store until you get your society score up. Right? That's what's happening there. They're already working on this stuff, but immunity passports are what allow that to happen in regard to vaccines. We don't need to make you do it. Trump doesn't need to make you do it. He'll just let the businesses do it for him and then pretend like, whoa, those Democrat businesses, even though it'll be all of them. And it's the same back and forth ploy they do with the lockdowns. Oh, I told them not to, even though it was the federal government emergency that allowed all of it to happen. And then he pretended he gave it to the governors, and then the governors do, both left and right, do the things they shouldn't be doing that are unconstitutional. And he stands back and acts like, oh, man, those are some bad moves they're taking, even though it reflects on the government. That's the point, as usual. But to start off with the censorship point, it's really something that has been happening more than I think anybody's seen in, I mean, almost ever, right? I mean, we've been seeing this happen for quite a long time. Censorship, whether it's on this channel, any number of channels. But recently with COVID-19, and understand, not just in COVID-19 sphere, I mean, across the board, we're seeing censorship on its face without any justification anymore. I guess because COVID-19. But wait a minute, this video was about Israel and Gaza. But guess what? They still don't need any justification. This is a video from Robert Inlakesh. There was an outstanding, I mean, one that just really, really cut to the heart of what's going on. Gone. Foreign policy with Robert and Lakesh. Is Israel planning a new war on Gaza or Lebanon? Deleted. Now, as you'll note, there nowhere on this long and unnecessarily listed document is any reference of what was actually violated, as you all know by now. But sometimes they do include it here and there when they really want to make a point. But ask yourself how they can even do this without letting you know what was violated. Of course, when they then go, oh, here, go ahead and apply in this 800-character box, appeal to why you violated. Oh, but we won't tell you how you violated it. We'll let you guess at this 30-minute video where in there something was said that we disagree with, whether it's even borderline or actually violating the rules, right? Because remember, those both apply today. We don't, won't even actually violate the rules. We just don't like it enough to say, nope, we're going to remove it. Now, we don't even know where in that nebulous kind of foggy grouping of things we're not supposed to do that we're actually hitting on. So we don't have anything to appeal to, and they know this. It is the illusion of a process. These people are authoritarian control mongers. They do not want you to be able to make any choices. They want other people that don't have any game, any, what's the analogy, any stake in this game, I believe, to look at us and go, oh, they're conspiracy theorists. YouTube wouldn't do that because they don't know anything that's going on in this sphere because they're not here. This is what it looks like. Right? Remember, here it is. No justification, no telling you why. It just says the violates our guidelines. You know, there are numerous pages of all these multifaceted guidelines that who knows. So you go in and here's what it says. Before you appeal, please review your content. Ensure that it abides by our guidelines. All 32 minutes that we don't even know what part you said was violating what. And of course, here's what I'm going to say, because we all know that these people are a bunch of liars, a bunch of manipulators. And I don't mean every single person that possibly ever worked at YouTube, but whoever's in control of making these policies. They're not stupid. They know that there's no way that I can appeal to something when I don't even know what violated it, because they just don't care. And the government is more than happy to go along with this. As I said, and I haven't actually sent this in, we'll do it live on the show so you can see it. Well, seeing as how you provided me no justification for why the video was taken down, how exactly do you expect me to try and appeal it? Oh, that's right. You don't. It's an illusion of a process. What a joke. We all see you for what you are. Thank you, YouTube, for making it very clear what you are and what you are not. I hope we're all very aware of those things. Now, here is on BitChute, a non-authoritarian, non-censorship platform, that, as well as I have it on a lot of other platforms, at least right in this moment, I feel that BitChute's the most reliable in regard to so many of the things going on that I can make sure it'll be there for when you guys to look at it. Is Israel planning a new war in Gaza or Lebanon? Please make sure you watch this, and please make sure you share. And right, I will tell you right now, I want everybody out there, I give my willing permission to anybody everywhere. If you have a YouTube channel, take this video, upload it, post it. Get it out there. Oddly enough, they didn't even give me a strike for it. Who knows why? But I would be happy if I woke up tomorrow and saw this on 14 other channels all playing on YouTube tomorrow. Please share the information. Here's another one, by the way. I also thought this one was just a... And by the way, if you remember, all of you long-term T-Lab followers out there, I said this would happen during this exact video. Mainstream media again pushes flu vaccine for COVID despite Pentagon finding this increases risk of coronaviruses. I even literally said risk of coronaviruses plural because that's actually what the study says. There is literally nothing that violates. They are pushing COVID flu vaccines despite there being a study. Oops, this study. Oh, that's right. From January 2020, influenza vaccination and respiratory virus interference among Department of Defense personnel during 2017, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's so frustrating that we have to keep going over these things. And then they keep censoring it because they're a bunch of authoritarian censor control mongers that don't care about the truth. Hashtag boycott YouTube. Receiving influenza vaccination may increase the risk of other respiratory viruses, a phenomenon known as virus interference. It says right here, vaccine-derived virus interference was significantly associated with coronavirus and human pneumoviruses. Now, that's very, very clear. Now, the reason they pretend this is fake news is because they're attacking what they think we're suggesting is that this increases the risk of specifically COVID-19. Now, whether or not I think that, that's not what I said. And it's very clearly not what I wrote in the title. But yet, they're happy to censor it anyway because they don't want you to know that they have a study
funded by the Pentagon, released in January 2020, that point blank says, verbatim, vaccine-derived virus interference was significantly associated with the category of coronavirus, including all the other ones we've talked about, MERS and SARS, and guess what? COVID-19, because that's in the category. It doesn't just not be in that category because this was written before that was talked about. That's just childishly stupid. But you see, they don't want you to think. They want you to go, oh, that's something different, and that's fake news I heard. So I'm not going to think about the obvious Pentagon-funded study that says exactly that. Unbelievable, guys. But I told you it would happen, because there's no truth here. There's no honesty left at YouTube, or a lot of other platforms for that matter. Before I started this show today, more than one platform I can tell is completely censoring and suppressing the stuff that we're doing. This is very obvious to me. Here is the other one for you to watch. Mainstream media again pushes flu vaccine for COVID despite Pentagon finding its increases of risk of coronaviruses. 100% verifiable statement. I didn't say it does. I said their study found that. Exactly what it says. It's just pathetic that these people are so afraid of the truth and know that they don't even have an answer for it that they just broadly censor. I mean, it's so clear today, which is why they're struggling. Here's another one to finish off the opening part here. This is one I did a long time ago, which shows you right now that they're combing through other things we've done to try to find reasons to attack the channel. This one's called, guess what, seems very timely, pedophilia at the highest levels of power, sidestepping distraction, focusing on the true problem. Now here's the other, this one was only age restricted. This is something I did a long time ago, 2017, with somebody that worked with us a while back. She's an activist in regard to vaccines predominantly, actually, which is interesting for today. I'm sure that's, she's blossomed in all kinds of things today. But the point is, this is a video of her and I speaking about all the things that I've written about, all the different discussions, and the reality that this is what this is about. Right? Not talking about basements and emails, even though those things are relevant to the story, but really focusing on the point, sidestepping all the distraction and realizing that what we're talking about is pedophilia at the highest levels of power. And that's something like Dennis Hassert or Liddy or any number of people that are recent examples of people in governmental power, as well as the limitless examples in Hollywood that we don't have to get into that we've all talked about on this show. But see, this is just not allowable, apparently. Why? I'll leave that up for you. It's still there for you to view. So please watch it, share it, talk about it. It's unbelievable. But this is why we opened with this, because this is happening. Now, Whitney and I already touched on this in a recent show. YouTube bans coronavirus vaccine information, which is made all the more absurd when you realize that Google, you know, who owns YouTube, is now formally part of Operation Warp Speed. You know, the operation to make vaccines for COVID-19 that Trump is spearheading and making happen really fast. Google's YouTube recently banned all misinformation related to concerns about COVID-19 vaccines like the ones they're working on in Operation Warp Speed. Sure, that seems legit. No conflict of interest here. I mean, if you wanted to argue this was justified, don't you think there should be another entity that does it? Well, of course not. Not when you're the good guy. The good guy doesn't have things called conflicts of interest. Those don't exist for us, right? We don't have to follow UN mandates or guidelines. We don't have to follow the rules of international law because we're good guys. You see how that works? Might is right, right? That's what we're telling everybody today. I always like to make those tangential connections to the foreign policy because this is the same way these people's minds work. Obviously the opposite of what anybody will. I mean, if Trump's administration, or even let's just say politically left or right, whatever, saw this happening on the other side, and it wasn't a point they were all invested in, which is what this is, they would be calling this out constantly. But no, you know, things like Moncef Salawi, a man who literally is on the board working with multiple vaccine companies and had stock in one when he got the job, should not be the vaccine czar, because that's called a conflict of interest. But you see, these things don't apply to these people. All these things are coming from Trump's administration at the moment. But here we are, with Google being a part of the thing that they're censoring and telling, and by the way, censoring discussion of things that have yet to even come to pass. So you can't even hypothesize about what might happen based on the information, because that's you're creating vaccine hesitancy, and you can't do that despite all the reason to actually do that. Need a drink. Now, Alphabet Inc.'s YouTube said on Wednesday it would remove videos from YouTube containing misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines. Again, for, right off the bat, they're deciding what that misinformation is and already standing on what they've already done, actions they've already taken, things they've already removed and then ended up being right. That's just a completely subjective point. They deleted videos of mine back in the beginning when we were talking about things that are common discussions today. Right? I mean, asking the question of whether it could be something that's a bioweapon or think, like, this was things that was posted on mainstream media. But they censored us back then because we were talking about it before they were. See, so now they're censoring misinformation. Or such, what about the idea that, you know, lockdowns weren't supposed to be happening, or the idea that the masks aren't scientifically verified? These are all things that are coming out left and right now. Even the ideas of the World Health Organization saying one day it's airborne, one day it's not, or saying now that the World Health Organization is saying lockdowns shouldn't be used like they are. But you see, before it, when people were saying that other, or counter to what they were saying, they were being censored. You see how subjective and ridiculous it is. But this is why they do it, because they're power hungry. That whoever is involved in trying to make these actions happen, in addition, all the individual groups, but we have to realize where it stems from. This is coming from top down, right? The whole lockdown scenario is what we're talking about here. And it trickles down and people underneath them say, well, look, they're taking control of everything. We better take advantage of the situation. Expanding its current rules against falsehoods and conspiracy theories about the pandemic. I find it interesting and quite revealing that they every time separate falsehoods or misinformation and then term conspiracy theories. Which either, I mean, that at the very least seems to suggest that they're not outright claiming that conspiracy theories are always falsehoods. They're saying them as two separate things. Now, you could say, you know, falsehoods and lies, but that would be redundant. Not that the mainstream media doesn't break all of their rules today, but it's interesting to note. Falsehoods and conspiracy theories, which I think suggests that they just at the very least aren't trying to just claim that all these things are false. I think there's a reason for that. Sort of like an idea of putting them on the side of the box of masks that they don't really work. There's something like that where there's a reason, and they think far ahead in these and where they don't want to be liable for things that they say and so on. That's just a thought. Either way, you'll see more than once they separate those out. The video platform said it would now ban any content with claims about COVID-19 vaccines that contradict consensus from local health authorities or the World Health Organization. Okay, so again, the World Health Organization that has already gone back on things they've said at least 4 or 5 times, which is almost to be expected because it's an evolving situation, which is the point. So what they're actually saying is you can't go out there and report on things until they tell you you can. That's what they're saying. Even if they're wrong, even if they come out and say it and you're looking right at the evidence and you go, no, they're incorrect, and do a video about it, well, YouTube will censor that video because you went against what the consensus of the World Health Organization. Even if they later come out 2 days later and say, well, ooh, we made a mistake. Here's the truth. Oh, guess what? Your video is still censored, though. That's exactly how we're going so far. The consensus of local authorities has been shown to be wrong the whole time. From where we started, from the models they used, from the actions they took, every single step of this entire process has been shown to be the incorrect consensus because they're getting a consensus from the wrong people, people who are politically charged, people who have agendas mixed up in this. They ignore anybody who challenges that consensus, which clearly shows you it's not really a consensus. But here they are forcing that down your throat and telling you they're going to ban you if you don't listen to that same repeatedly shown to be false consensus. Isn't that fantastic? YouTube said in an email that this would include removing claims that the vaccine will kill people or cause infertility, or that microchips will be implanted in people who receive the vaccine. Now, here's the way they play this. What they're saying there, first of all, to be very clear, censorship is this is never okay. And of course, we're talking about censorship. Real, like from a government, from an authority figure, right? The point that I always make that makes me laugh about the trolls that come screaming in your chat, cussing and calling names and you ban them from the chat and they go censorship. That means they're too ignorant to understand both what free speech is and censorship, right? If you come in my front door, let's say I invite everybody in, come on in my front door. One of them comes in with the crowd and starts screaming things on the top of his lungs and I say, get out. That's not what you're here for. And I kick him out of the house and he goes, censorship. You're restricting my voice. No, you're in my house, buddy. I invited you here, right? That's the point. There's a big difference between government censorship and somebody who intentionally comes in to yell and scream and gets booted off of a chat. which, by the way, I will happily do in this chat. But I will not censor somebody who is there just to dialogue and have differing opinions. The trolls in particular are the ones that play that game with screaming censorship and free speech, because they're doing this for a reason. So when we get to this point where we're talking about the things like vaccines kill or infertility or microchips being planted, they're playing the game here where they know there are people out there that will come out and say it off the bat. This is going to kill everybody, which, by the way, we don't know that. I am very concerned about this and very skeptical and absolutely screaming on top of my lungs that this is the last thing I will take. But I don't know, as a matter of fact, that it will kill everybody or that it will cause infertility, right? I think a lot of these things based on past examples, but I wouldn't go on my show and state as a matter of fact that it will happen, because how could I possibly know that? So they pretend that that's what everyone's doing, even when they discuss actual examples and theorize whether this might end up being like that. That should always be allowed. That's honest discussion. That's my opinion based on actual evidence. But again, my point was, even if I did go on and scream, this is going to happen, you still shouldn't be censored, because you have a right to have your opinion. But they play this game. Talking about microchips, for instance, we could mention the RFID chip on the outside of the app eject. We could talk about the Perfusa biosensor that they're going to use in tandem with these things, right? But the idea that it's inside the vaccine, well, I can't prove that. Who knows if it would possibly happen? I mean, there's actually something that I would jump to. Is it right here? Yeah, see, this is something that's interesting to think about. I was going to touch on it later, but since I, you know, brought it up, here's actual U.S. code 1520A. Restrictions on the use of human subjects for testing or chemical biological agents. It says the Secretary of Defense may not conduct, basically, experiments using chemical or biological agents on people or human subjects. But then it adds very clearly, exceptions. And this is the exceptions to testing on people. Any peaceful purpose that is related to a medical, therapeutic, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activity. So that's allowable. They can then test on people if it's one of that, if it's for that purpose. Any purpose that is directly related to protection against toxic chemicals or biological weapons. You could claim that's literally what they're making this out to be. China did it, they didn't tell us. Or however they're trying to spin this. Third, any law enforcement purpose. I love how broad that is. Including any purpose related to riot control. Just, you know, whatever, anything. But here's the point, so make sure we're clear on this. It does say C, informed consent required. The Secretary of Defense may conduct a test or experiment described in the sections we just read, chemical, biological testing on you, if it's within one of those three categories, only if informed consent to the testing was obtained from each human subject in advance of the testing on that subject. Now, first of all, the idea of informed consent is a wildly historically manipulated idea. Right now, we don't even have informed consent in this country. That's a joke. I mean, they pretend it's like any other things we have, like freedom and free speech and democracy. We pretend we have these things, but we really don't. Not like we believe we do anyway. And in this case, that's what this is. There's so many ways you could argue that we're already informed, right? They already told us these things are happening. They already told us that this is what whether we think that we were told. Right? They could argue this. My point being, there's any number of ways they've done this before and could do it now. So that informed consent could easily be stepped over, at the very least ignored, and then referenced later as, well, here, we thought we did this. But at the end of the day, and by the way, remember, the U.S. government has admitted 239 times using chemical or biological weapons on unwitting civilians, both Americans and abroad. 239 times in history. So here we are. I don't think they got informed consent then. I know they didn't. But then think about this. We're talking about the third example, law enforcement, including riot control. So let's pretend, I mean, they literally say law enforcement. So are you going to go ask the criminals their consent before you test on them during a riot? Does that make sense at all? But sure, they list that, but then say, oh yes, they need to consent before you use that for riot control during a riot. Sure. Totally. Like, I mean, you can just see how dumb that is. Like the idea is that that's there as a caveat. But going back to the point is the idea that they could the idea that they could be doing something without your knowledge is not that far-fetched, and we need to realize that, especially today. Did I jump ahead? Let's see, where were we here? Oh yeah, we were still here. Now, so the testing idea is not that ridiculous. But no, all that being said, the idea comes around to anybody even discussing what we just discussed gets labeled as those all, you know, polarized, all-encompassing discussions that they will do this or they will do that, and they censor us based on that illusion. That's the same. That's exactly what they did with this one. They're pretending we're saying something we're not because they know that people who don't understand what they're doing will pretend YouTube would never do that. Of course they're doing it because you must be a conspiracy theorist. But let's not pretend like vaccines in the past have not killed people and that vaccines in the past have not caused infertility, both of which 100% have happened, verifiably so. James Corbett did an excellent video proving, not that we need to, from testimony from people in India in different locations where this is absolutely the side effect of what happened. You could argue they didn't mean intend to do it. Doesn't matter. It happened. As well as the microchip idea is something that they're openly discussing right now. But sure, it's all ridiculous, and that's why they want that to sound that way. A YouTube spokesman told Reuters that general discussions and videos about broad concerns over the vaccine would remain on the platform, which again, I'm sure you will guarantee you won't find any definition of what broad concerns are. You just have to hope that you don't cross that line. And see, that's how they play it. So you're careful, you self-censor, which by the way, everybody is doing right now, and it makes me sick. I shouldn't say that. It's somebody, I just talked about somebody with this. It sickens me or whatever, or it's sickening. Not to imply that they have that power over me and don't make me sick, but it is sickening that I see so many people who are diehard in this conspiracy field or the truther field or whatever that are just completely ignoring the vaccine discussion or Operation Warp Speed or any of these things. It's really sad. I mean, look, I get it. People have their entire businesses. People have families tied up in their YouTube business. But I mean, guys, if we're literally sitting here staring at the damn end of the world, if that's what a lot of people are framing this as, and it's not that far off, let's just, you know, let's instead just make sure you've got your YouTube finances all set up. You know, it just bothers me. We need to step into this wholeheartedly. Stay the course. Do not back away. Have to right now. The point being, broad concerns could mean anything they want. You can cross that line anywhere they choose that you would. And it also means that they're making sure you get the point that do not talk about specifics. You don't get to have a breaking story and come in with new information from sources inside the vaccine company that says, oh, look, it specifically does this and you're in danger. Oh, censorship, right? Because they're telling you right now, only general discussions about broad concerns are going to be allowed. YouTube says it already removes content that disputes the existence of transmission of COVID-19, right? I mean, think about how dumb that is even. Like, you could argue that YouTube is deciding for us because we're in such a serious scenario, even though the numbers no longer back that up, but don't think about that. But that's their argument. Because this is such a serious event, we have to do this. We can't allow you to put information out that says that this can't happen the way we said it did because you're putting people's lives in danger. Well, all of that is just noise. They're telling you that you can't express your opinion about this, even though they're continually shown to be false, lying, deceiving, psychological operations in any number of events throughout our history, but you can't express this opinion if you feel that it disputes the existence or the transmission. Even though right now we have evidence coming from people like the CDC and the World Health Organization that are beginning to challenge the beginning things we thought. But you just can't do it. You cannot go on there, and they're already doing that, they said. Think about that. Hashtag boycott YouTube promotes medically unsubstantiated methods of treatment. Okay, so that means that what the establishment decides. So if you come on and say, oh, look, I have a personal example in my personal life with 11 people in front of me being cured by vitamin C or whatever, by eating radishes. I mean, who cares what it is? They put it out there and they censor it because they're saying, well, that's not medically substantiated. Well, who says? Cannabis is obviously medically substantiated, and they still won't let you talk about that. They still hide that information. They still say that's not true. Why would we believe them on anything else? It's all about the profit. It's all about the control. It's about the agenda. Their substantiated methods are just simply what they're allowed to talk about. There's any number of historical things that work way better than these pharmaceutical poisons, but they don't want you talking about it. They go on to say discourages people from seeking medical care, such as saying, well, don't go in there because they might use a ventilator, which we've now found out are very, very damaging, right? Oh, you can't say that. See, I keep jumping ahead here because there's a bunch of things that I had listed here. I just figured I'd show you this right now. Look at this one. I'm going to go over a lot of these points later. The fear of shortage of ventilators was unjustified. And remember, this is one thing Trump keeps proudly saying, that we shut these places down and we built ventilators. According to lung specialists, the invasive ventilation, which, by the way, we've known from Dr. Vidal since the very beginning of this, of COVID-19 patients, which was partly done out of fear of spreading the virus, is in fact often counterproductive and damaging to the lungs. Oh, you don't say. Exactly like we already knew, because we keep seeing it. And what they said, upwards of 90-something percent of people were dying once they got intubated, and we're still doing it. So now if you go on right now, by the way, and discourage people from getting that treatment, because that's what they'll do, especially if you're unconscious and can't talk for yourself and suddenly start having lung problems like everybody does in this situation, well, if you tell people that might happen, well, they'll censor you. Explicitly disputes health authorities' guidance on self-isolation, social distancing. Well, get ready for this video to be censored, guys. I can promise you, we are about to lose this channel. It's not a whether or not. This is going to happen because they're straight up writing in their notations exactly what we're talking about. And I'm not going to pull back because these people are criminals. If you're really telling me that I don't have the right to go over medical information, to go over actual medical opinions from experts in different groups around the world, if I can't point out that other countries are literally challenging the narrative based on their medical assessment, that's incredible. But that's what's happening. This is straight up what's happening. So, right, we should take this note right now, as I keep forgetting to say in the beginning of the show. That's the point. We are going to be removed, ladies and gentlemen. Take a moment right now and subscribe to the website, www.thelastamericanvagabond.com. Go to the podcast URL, which is on there as well. It's a link to blueberry.com, /Last American Vagabond. I have it in the show notes. Subscribe to the podcast, which is exactly what you're hearing now, only audio. Go to the DLive channel. Go to the Rockfin channel. Go to the Brighteon, the BitChute, all these channels. If you so choose, and I don't think you should, but you can also subscribe to the backup YouTube channel. I will continue to dump this stuff on YouTube as long as they allow it to happen. But YouTube is not the point. The point is the information. And if they're going to continue to censor the truth, well, then they're no longer viable. They're no longer legitimate. So make sure you do so. Right? I mean, right? If you're watching on YouTube right now and you don't have any other reason to be there, ask yourself why. Why aren't I on his DLive channel? Why aren't I somewhere else? Right? If you like talking with the people on YouTube in the chat, look, I get it. I'm not telling people what to do. The point is, understand that they will remove us from this platform. It's only a matter of time. And the idea is that you cannot let them be the conduit between the information and you, because it'll just happen one day and you'll wonder where we went. And no, I'm not on vacation. I'm over here screaming on some platform where nobody can hear, at least in regard to YouTube. So do it now. Take the time. Do not lose out. It's going to happen. Back to the point. They already removed this content. Explicitly disputes health authorities' guidance. And now the point was self-isolation, social distancing. We have a point we're going to get in today. I mean, guys, think about how dumb it is that they're straight up telling you they're going to censor you if you do exactly that. Here's the Swiss policy research coming up and telling you, and this is up to date. This is as of September 2020. Telling you these things aren't the case, and they're all sourced and linked, and you can look at it for yourself. I keep jumping way ahead. We're going to go through that later at the end. But the point was that there's numerous, reputable, according to the mainstream media, organizations that continue to come out with information that are telling you. So even self-isolation, social distancing, these things are not having the effect that they're claiming, and in fact, historically, are quite different. Now, I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm saying that's what these experts are saying. So think for yourself. Right? You see, they try to frame it as me telling you what to think. And all I'm saying is, here's information. Here's what they won't show you. Consider both sides, including what they're saying. But see, they would never want to pretend that's what we're doing, because you know what? They don't even have the courage to do that. Conspiracy theories and misinformation, again, was the point, remember? You know, I mean, if they were just going to attack misinformation, why would they include conspiracy theories? Seemingly, they think they're two separate things. That says quite a lot to me. In its email, YouTube said it had removed over 200,000 videos related to dangerous or misleading COVID-19 misinformation since early February. 200,000 videos. You know, videos like the doctors from frontline speaking out, such as any number of other videos of actual doctors with actual degrees, actual medical professionals speaking out, just stating their opinion based on the science and what they're holding in front of them, and they get censored anyway. Because YouTube decided for you that you're not allowed to hear those medical experts. despite them being wrong and being shown to lie and manipulate, just like every other entity we're talking about right now. And of course, remember, that's while we're talking about Google being involved with the Operation Warp Speed, which they have a vested profit motive to keep you from talking about how this thing is not the biggest danger of all time because we need the vaccine. YouTube said it would be announcing more steps in the coming weeks to emphasize authoritative information about COVID-19 vaccines on site. Cool. So even now YouTube is going to push the vaccine for you on site and attack us if we even question that it will be the save all, end all, be all possible thing. And we're also going to talk about at the end the vaccine being forced on you. But remember, again, Google is now formally part of Operation Warp Speed. They're censoring information about the vaccine that they're working on. I mean, also don't forget within Whitney's article, which this links to, which will be in the show notes, is that the NSA and the DHS that were previously working on a project called Total Information Awareness after 9/11, they got completely broken up amongst other intelligence groups because people aren't ready for it. Well, weird how the NSA and the DHS are now suddenly doing the same thing, but they're calling it a different program. It'll be monitoring for Operation Warp Speed, but it's the same concept. 2 years, they claim, of pharmacovigilance. All these things are coming back around, other new names and new monikers. It's the same old, same old. A truly Orwellian culture. Amazon removes COVID skeptics book for violating content guidelines. It's just, how offensive is this? I mean, this is book burning, guys. This is actual book burning. It doesn't matter what you think of the person, what you think of his opinions, what you think of what he wrote. The point is, he has a right to say it. And they're just simply telling you, because COVID, you're in danger, that we're going to keep this from your view, even though we're not actually in the danger that we keep telling us that we are. Again, here, according to the World Health Organization, from the most recent October 18th, 0.15 infection fatality rate. According to Japan, it's only 0.01, but we'll get to this in a minute, because those things don't matter, right? Numbers and facts don't matter. We only care about telling you what you can and can't say. And James is not allowed to say it. Here's what he said. He spoke with RT News about the incident. Of course, that's a Russia outlet, so he must be a shill, right? Or it's an outlet actually willing to hear his opinion. Now, I'm not saying RT is going to have all the honest facts all the time. I think all these outlets have interests and agendas. But when you see someone willing to hear out another's opinion, especially when it's one that's not being allowed, well, that says something to me. He outlined how Amazon's act of censorship validates his book's findings. Don't you love that? He literally is making a book saying that's what they're doing because of this kind of idea, and then they go and censor his book for that exact idea. So they are. They're validating exactly what he said about them, expressing concerns that the censorship on COVID has been getting progressively stronger, which we all see. Even as the death rate from COVID has been getting progressively lower. Fact. Now, I don't actually have the site up in front of me. Let's see. Maybe this will be the right one. Nice. Oh, no, this isn't the right one. Yeah, they did it, updated it. Anyway, I was hoping to see if it said down or up again. COVID-19 related hospitalizations and mortality attributed to COVID remain stable or declined. You know how long it's been saying that? It's been almost every metric continuing to go down. It's incredible. And yet they keep hyping it and hyping it more and more and more. Well, here's another aspect of censorship before we finish off this opening part. Highest ranking government official in the world, Dimitri says, thank you for tagging me in this, openly opposed to mainstream media hysteria, lockdowns, and coronaphobia, cites restaurants, direct or collateral killings as frankly a crime against humanity. Now, I am not saying I'm promoting Fox News, which I think all these mainstream media outlets are all part of this illusion. The point is that it doesn't matter where it's coming from, who's saying it. The point is that it's information that's clearly, even on the mainstream, beginning to challenge everything we're told we're not allowed to talk about. And as he points out, highest ranking government, arguably, ostensibly, right, the leading health official for the U.S. government. I mean, the idea that the U.S. government is by default the leading everything in the world is just kind of an illusion. It's a fallacy for sure. But just take his point. It's perception of that. And, you know, this is a person, it's a health official. They're censoring it because they don't see, who doesn't get censored? At what point does a health official who has a different opinion not just simply, what if they break some new story or they found some new information? Apparently, you're just not allowed to change the narrative no matter what. It's incredible. Here's what he actually says. I think I actually have the clip queued up here. Let me see. Yeah, it looks like it. Okay. Because it's pretty low on here. But as he says, Scott Atlas, prolonged lockdowns, a complete disaster. He's going to say this in here. Working class and low-income people destroyed. Which, I mean, we all see that. That's not by accident. 46% of cancers not diagnosed, 50% chemo appointments missed, which, by the way, is an absolutely fantastic thing. Argue with me if you want. That's a positive, you know, 2% success rate with chemotherapy. Chemotherapeutic drugs are the only only category of drug that the doctors get a direct cut of the profit for selling. Gosh, chemotherapy is an illusion and a joke, but whatever. Point is that all of these things are being missed and most of these are needed. Like, for instance, this, I would argue, that to me is not what I'm concerned about. But that, 200,000 cases of abuse being missed. 25% of younger people considering suicide, right? I mean, cancer's not being diagnosed. All these things, and add that onto every other problem that's happening too. People are getting sick and they're not treating it because they're afraid. Well, let's listen to what he has to say.
The prolonged lockdowns are a complete disaster. They're a complete disaster for missed health care. They're a complete disaster for average working families, and particularly for people who are working class and lower income people. People have been killed by people who want to have prolonged lockdowns. And when I say killed, I look at the data. And that means, for instance, this week it was shown 46% of the most common types of cancers were not diagnosed during the lockdown. Those cancers didn't disappear. They're there. People will present with much later, more widespread disease. Half of people who had chemotherapy appointments didn't show up. That's 650,000 Americans. Half of people who had immunizations for children didn't come in out of the fear instilled by our so-called public health experts. You know, you could go on and on, 40% of people with acute strokes. And this is sort of devastating. When you close schools, just schools alone, we had more than 200,000 cases of child abuse not reported during the 2 months of spring school closures. And now we're in a situation where one out of four young college-age Americans have contemplated killing themselves during the month of June. That's a CDC report.
And I'm telling you, this guy Peter Hotez on CNN today, he said, he's a vaccine developer, he said, get ready, I'm telling my own family, get ready for lockdowns this winter. That's what they're saying.
I can say this. History will record the faces of the public health expertise as some of the most sinful, egregious, epic failures in the history of public policy. They have killed people with their lack of understanding and their lack of caring about not just the impact of cases of COVID-19, a virus that the overwhelming majority of people do well in, notwithstanding, of course, we're not underestimating 200,000 Americans who died. That's tragic. But these people have been a gross failure because they never cared to consider the impact of the policy itself. And the policy itself has been a complete, epic failure. And honestly, some people say a crime against humanity.
Now, of course, and I shouldn't have to say this every time, but I will, that just because we're playing this clip does not mean that we're endorsing everything that's being said, such as the people that died, or such as the fact that this is even a real thing. Like, we're all open to these things, or we all should be. Because right now, with how much is being lied about and what we're seeing come out in regard to the deceptions and the psyops and the foreknowledge, there should be nothing off the table but we should consider is happening right now. The point in showing you this is because they're censoring even at this level. The fact that he just said that it's just show that regardless of what the ultimate truth is, they're controlling what's being said. And that's very, very obvious. I mean, there's obvious reasons to question the number of dead, number of cases, number of everything. Right? So that should always be a case. And hopefully for those in the chat that are always here, make sure you make that defense when somebody new comes in and goes, why are they talking about the virus? Don't they know, Dr. Kaufman, it's fake and, you know, this kind of thing. Right? There's so many different discussions being had here. We need to be open to all the different perspectives. Like I always say, we're using their information to show you the narrative that they have is false. Doesn't mean we're endorsing what they're saying every time. But that's just incredible to me, right? I mean, this is the article showing how on Twitter's additional information was censored. And that's what we're getting to. American neurodiologist Dr. Scott Atlas, who has been a part of the White House coronavirus task force since August. I mean, look, if anybody should be allowed to speak on coronavirus, you would think it would be people involved in the task force, right? I mean, it's, and it doesn't mean you should listen to them or that they're correct, but it just seems like a very obvious either way to make us listen to what he's saying, which is something that they do a lot. Censorship does not automatically equate to they're telling the truth. That's the most basic manipulation there is. That's something that Q can't get around, right? Just because it's censored doesn't mean that it's real, but he is, and it's interesting to see that it shows you that they're willing to censor even at that level. He has been occasionally spotted in public not wearing personal protective equipment, which, again, I don't agree that he should have to. But I do also think it's pretty dumb that one of the leading health officials is not doing so while they're allowing people anywhere in this country to be arrested for not doing so. That's disgusting, right? That makes them hypocrites. They're complicit. They're not doing what they should in stopping unconstitutional actions that are violating the rights of Americans, which are the obligation of the president of the United States. But regardless, he hasn't been wearing it. Which, again, I agree with that you should have the right to do it or not, despite relevant recommendations from U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You're right, except that they said not to at first and then changed it. So which one do we listen to, right? This is what they want you to. Twitter marked a post from the White House health advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, where he questioned the utility of mask wearing as being in violation of the company's policies, effectively banning the tweet. So, right, so a member of the coronavirus task force can step up and say, or not even say not to, but just offer up some discussion points, wondering whether or not that they should be because of all the other people that have said that they're not necessarily what we should be doing. And they delete it. Twitter does, right? Because Twitter's the arbiter of what's true in the world, right? Twitter's the leading global health authority, right? Well, apparently, Twitter and YouTube, whoever's guiding their direction, seem to be driving this bus. Does that make sense to anybody? Hopefully not. The post in question provided a link to the article from the American Institute for Economic Research, which we're going to look at next. And here's his tweet. Masks work? No. That's his statement. His question, his statement. And then he quotes LA, Miami, Hawaii, Alabama, France, Philippines, UK, Spain, Israel, saying that they don't work. World Health Organization, quote, widespread use not supported. Many harms. That's from the World Health Organization. Hennigan, Oxford, they say, quote, despite decades, considerable uncertainty of their value. CDC, no sign of reducing influenza transmission. Right? So that's all of that's factual. He didn't say, I mean, look, I'm not even going to try to equivocate. What the point is that he, as a medical professional, as well as someone on the coronavirus task force, right, as well as just a free human being, should have the right to say whatever the hell he wants about what he's doing, especially a doctor on this task force. So Twitter is apparently has a higher standing in regard to medical discussions and medical advice and information in the world than the leading health professional in the coronavirus task force. How does that make sense? I'm not even saying I endorse what Scott Atlas has to say. I'm just simply saying that Twitter is clearly showing you that they have a higher standing, a higher decision maker. They're higher on the decision tree than even Scott Atlas. That's really unnerving. There's really no way to look at this any different. And here is the article we're going to look at and probably be censored for doing so. The American Institute for Economic Research. Oh, what a conspiracy rag, right? Now it says 2020 is a year of disguises. Some examples include computer models, modelers disguised as science, scientists. Can't say that, right? Tyrants, dictators, totalitarians disguised as elected officials, propaganda machines disguised as news sources, brainwashing disguised as information, censorship disguised as public health safeguard, panic and fear disguised as social responsibility. Gosh, if there's one paragraph that on the head about where we are. I mean, that should be embroidered across everything. I mean, that's exactly what's happening across the board. From the American Institute of Economic Research, even the virus itself, they say, has been disguised by humans. Now, again, this is not to suggest that I'm blindly endorsing what they're saying. I happen to agree with most of what they're saying. The point is just to recognize how many examples from even areas that they would otherwise point to if they were saying what they wanted that are now suddenly on the fringe weirdo conspiracy point, right? Remember, they want you to believe this is one fringe doctor and a bunch of weirdos on YouTube making some ridiculous claims that are anti-science. when we're literally staring at governments, medical professionals, Nobel laureate. I mean, you just across the board, every single kind of person that you would, they would otherwise be screaming that you need to listen to. How do you rectify that? Well, they don't. That's the point. They ignore it and they censor it. Even the virus itself has been disguised by humans as an apocalypse. But the last part is not the doing of the virus, but the doings of a select number of humans who are responsible for many of the other disguises as well. I love that. Not just about COVID, but just all of this stuff. And if you look at the totality of events in 2020, it is clear that the average citizen has been treated generally less than human, certainly not as adults in any case. Now, virus, what are we dealing with? It says my doctoral degree. Oh, and by the way, just so you can see this guy first, this is who's writing the article. Roger K. Koops holds a PhD in chemistry, right? What a fringe anti-science conspiracy theorist. Master and bachelor degrees from Western Washington University. He worked in a pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry for over 25 years. 12 years of consultant focused on quality assurance, control, and related issues related to regulatory compliance. Now, again, just because he has those degrees doesn't mean you should blindly listen to what he has to say. But it means he's exactly what they would otherwise scream at you as the expert you should listen to if he were saying something else. But now that he's saying what they don't want him to say, he's either completely ignored as if he doesn't exist, or they try to attack his character in some way, which makes no sense because we're talking about scientific arguments based on science. And we're the unscientific ones, right? We're the ones, as they attack baselessly his character for making verifiable claims. Anyway, going forward, his doctoral degree is in organic chemistry, specifically chemistry involving carbon-based compounds. So it's just exactly what we're talking about. He says, this is interesting. He goes on a couple other points before he gets to the masks. Coronavirus and influenza are very similar at a molecular level. Remember all these people that want to scream at you on Twitter about how they're different things? How that's talking about influenza in that study, you dummy. We're not talking about influenza. Oh, get with the program, right? Like just so snide discussions from people that woke up yesterday and suddenly they're experts in immunology and viruses. It's a joke. Same thing after 2016. Where people woke up and suddenly were experts in politics that have no idea what happened 2 years ago. But the reality is, as anyone honest enough to say so, and anyone intelligent enough to look into it, is that they're very much the same thing. This is, I mean, if not, they're, I mean, down to, I mean, to any number of levels, which I'm not a scientist, but I've read a hell of a lot on this topic, and what he goes in here is exactly what I keep seeing repeated over and over. Other than people on social media screaming at you that they don't know what they're talking about. Coronavirus and influenza are very similar at the molecular level. Both are ribonucleic acid viruses, RNA, and both are enveloped helical, meaning that they have a similar three-dimensional structure with a protein outer part and an RNA inside. Now, you don't need to understand all that. Just understand that they are very similar on a molecular level. Now, coronavirus is a positive strand RNA, and influenza is a negative strand RNA, which they say this means that they have opposite structures, much like you have a left hand and a right hand. The viral class identification is different partly for that reason. I found that to be fascinating, probably for reasons that I'm maybe not scientifically smart enough to wrap my mind around that I'm hoping other people will pick up on. But if we're talking about something that is so similar, yet almost as if it's like they're saying the right hand versus the left hand, doesn't that seem to suggest this was something that was just taken from something they already had and made into what it is now? Hey, maybe I'm a dumb person, don't understand science, but hopefully people out there will look into that more. I very much thought that stood out to me as something that suggests that we're talking, and look, by the way, I mean, I'm kind of being facetious here. The point is there's a lot of evidence before this that shows that these things have traced back to previous examples. That's what people from Taiwan said, but we just ignore all these people. The leading virologist in Taiwan, who cares what he has to say, right? There's any number of examples that seem to suggest this is just a further extension of exactly what we've already been dealing with, and we're just being lied to about it, which, by the way, is exactly what a lady from Netherlands has to say later in the show, so pay attention. We'll get there in a minute. But they say their viral class identification is different, partly for that reason. It says both coronavirus and influenza behave almost the same outside of the body, which, again, to counter the screaming people bleeding on Twitter about things they don't know, of the body, and this is due to their size, structure, and relative chemical similarities. Note that this is interesting. This is a breakdown, but he says, note that our eyes cannot actually see 5 micron, which is the biggest one right here, So this has been enhanced. So the difference in size is correct, but 5 microns, which we can't even see, has been enhanced to look like this. So the point being that if we keep going down in this, you can see how big these things are. Now, right when you get to one, here's 1 micron in comparison, right? This is supposed to be 0.3 of a micron, right? So right here, 0.3 is what the N95s are supposed to stop. Anything bigger than 0.3, which, remember, it means 95% of what is out there, it can block. So that means that here, which is actually what the coronavirus is we're talking about, can't be stopped. I mean, I've already gone over this point, but it's just good to have a visual example. 0.3 is where N95s, and understand, even like cloth masks, regular masks, they're nowhere near that. That is what it is. It won't be stopped. The whole chain link fence and mosquito analogy seems apt. Now it says, coronavirus has good stability on plastic and has even been detected up to 1 week on surgical masks. Now again, the same point I made before about the discussions of whether viruses are real and the idea that these things, I get that. I'm showing you what they're discussing in these points to argue the idea of the mask discussion. The American Institute of Economic Research maybe haven't wrapped their minds around the possibility that these are totally new discussions to be had. Okay, just when we're reading something doesn't mean we're obviously taking it in at face value no matter what. So according to American Institute of Economic Research, coronavirus has good stability on plastic and has even been detected for up to 1 week on surgical masks, which they're making the point here that ultimately that this thing is able to be, the idea is that stay on the outside and the inside of a mask. In particular, I'm forgetting the name of the substance, but they were basically a kind of plastic paper combination. I think it was cotton and something, and I'm blanking on the other term, which is what most masks are actually made out of. So it's a plastic kind of blend. Now it says skin, gosh, it's driving me crazy. I can't remember what that is. Anyway, skin can actually be good at destabilizing because of not only sweat, but also the natural oils in detergents that are produced in the skin that can break up apart these types of molecules. That's the reason that skin absorption is not considered a vector of infection. That's interesting. Not groundbreaking, but I just thought that was interesting. The idea that, you know, people wonder, you know, your skin's porous. Why doesn't it work that way? But so they're arguing it's because of that. One of the major points that they're making in this article is that the mask is an illusion because the assumption is that that's the only way this spreads from person to person, one-on-one. The point they're making is that's just simply not true. And they all know that. So it's an all-encompassing lockdown mask mandate to apply to only one part of something that's not really even coming close to stopping this. Now it says that the rationale for lockdowns, masks, distancing, etc., all rest on the assumption that human direct transmission is the greatest risk for disease. Now, as for the censors out there and everyone else, this is simply what American Institute for Economic Research is stating. And of course, that Scott Atlas, one of the leading medical professionals, referenced. But I'm sure they'll try to censor it anyway. But there's a lot of other ways this can spread, according to them. People seem to be convinced that somehow the only way to catch this virus is because it makes a beeline from person to person. In other words, we are the culprits. They've turned us into the problem, which is why your body is the battlefield, right? As Whitney Webb coined. Your body is where this battlefield is being waged. The war on terrorism 2.0, the war on virus, right? Virus is the new ISIS. I said this right when this started. You're the problem. And of course, you know, the best way to do that is to build out a transhumanist technocratic society where we slowly phase out our humanity that makes us at risk. There's entire papers that write exactly like that. It says, but is this really the case? In short, no. Here's why. Because the modelers view, if we imprison people, lockdown, a term used in penal institutions when prisoners become unruly, yet again, another example of them using the terminology and the devices and the actions they take in regard to terrorism and policing and raising and, you know, controlling cattle and tracking. I mean, these are all things that the devices they're using, the contact tracing, the terms they're using, it's all about aggressive actions against enemies that are suddenly being turned on to you. But let's pretend like that's not very telling. Despite the fact that the Pentagon's been writing for years, I forget, what was that paper called? Like Battlefield America or something. The Pentagon had that paper they wrote years back telling us that the future of the war would be on the home front. And here we are. But it says that if we imprison people, cover their faces, and keep them from doing what people do, i.e. socializing, distancing, we can stop the virus. Right? Cover their faces with masking, obviously. It says this concept is what wannabe dictators all over the world have embraced. I love this line. Good for you guys for having the Constitution to stand up for the obvious truth. The concept that what they're taking advantage of this. Now, even if you argue that that's still the right move, that still doesn't mean that dictators wouldn't take advantage of it. Those things aren't completely separate. They're not mutually exclusive. People can be doing these actions or taking advantage of them in however you look at it. And that's the case. Dictators all around the world are happy to jump into this and use it as their excuse. And most of them are U.S. allies. This is nonsense, he says. Certainly, you can get infected that way, but that is not the only way that's only one of many different ways. It may not even be the main way, he says. It is losing sight of the forest for the trees, which is an excellent analogy that always applies to missing the bigger picture or missing the details for the bigger picture, right? Or anyway, the point is like the analogy is you're in the forest. You're missing the forest. No, it's missing the bigger picture because of the smaller details. Sorry, I said it backwards. Right, so you're in the forest and you're staring at this one thing and you're missing the larger picture of all the forest around you. And this is the idea that they're making here. Or I would argue that's them being nice and assuming that it's a mistake as opposed to an obvious agenda. that's my take on it. But in any case, it goes the same way. It says, we really do not know how infectious shedding viruses truly are. Oh my gosh, honesty. Isn't that great? People telling us we don't know everything all the time. We don't know how infectious shedding viruses truly are. And they make the point in this article. Like there's no science is not there to back it up. And he says what is being shed could be combinations of fragmented virus and more intact virus. The reason is not clear is because a main method that is used to identify samples is PCR. PCR cannot tell whether what it's seeing is actually infectious or not. Big surprise there. It's one of the things we've been saying from the beginning. So it could be completely, it could be in your body, but you might not even be infectious and maybe you never will be. They can't tell you. That's something that John Rappaport pointed out right in the beginning. It says there is no scientific evidence that when a person is infected that they are continually expelling the virus. That's a claim that they make across the board. But just like with masks and many other things, well, they're not really going with the science while they tell you that they are. The expelled moisture particles, and this is where it gets into the mask idea, are divided typically into two categories. And we've talked about this, aerosols, and this is usually very small, below 1 micron, and droplets, which are larger than 5 micron, usually. Now, the range between 1 to 5 microns, sometimes ambiguously defined, but we've talked about this at length, and the idea that coronavirus is largely spread by, almost predominantly by aerosolized particulates, the size that is too small, as we showed you up here, to make it through or to be stopped by your mask. It's all pretty basic information. This has not changed. Lost my place here. There we go. Now, it says, as nanoparticles, and again, that doesn't necessarily mean technology, just meaning the size, you know, the nano-sized, which are the kind we're talking about, the ones that go through your mask, we should assume that they can remain air suspended for long periods of time and are taken up by the local air movement patterns, which is something the CDC has already admitted as well. Now, it says, don't masks make a difference? Now, the photo below, I find this really interesting, is of him, of the author, taken 30 years ago. And he says, yes, that's him. He was being fitted for his own respirator. He says he has something, he knows something about PPE. Now, it says the type of respirator he's using in the photo is designed to protect the wearer from chemical agents, mostly, although there are biological filters available. He said his exhaled breath would exit via another one-way valve. And this is the point I kept making before, that even 95s are not designed to stop the air coming out of your mouth. It's meant to stop things from coming in. So that challenges the narrative that it protects your grandma. But the masks are different. But they've never really made the difference. People don't even understand the differences of how these things work or the cloth masks increase your risk of infection. Nobody cares about those things. It says, I had to be certified on an annual basis to show that my lungs were capable of breathing with this apparatus since the pressure differential was great. And he goes on to make a point about how it's obviously has an effect and that you should not be wearing these things for long periods of time. He says the usage of face protection with infectious diseases has been well studied, especially with influenza. And you've seen us talk about it on this show to the collective groan of mainstream media. Do not forget the mechanics of these two viruses coronavirus, influenza are essentially the same. So what works for or doesn't for one is the same for the other. Again, to the challenge of these screaming unknowledge people on Twitter. The understanding has been that a mask, that term usually refers to either a surgical mask or an N95, has no benefit in the general population and is only useful in controlled clinical settings. Further, it has been considered a greater transmission risk than a benefit in the general population. Right? These are things that are being stated as fact because it's been general knowledge and they've done numerous study after study after study, random controlled trial after random controlled trial. If people still have a memory, you may recall this was what they said in February 2020. They did. And we're supposed to pretend like they just suddenly changed it based on, quote, new information that wasn't there. How naive must we be? Face coverings, they say, in this category will include homemade cloth, dust, non-fitted utility, those kind of things. The other category is specifically surgical mask N95s. He says one of the biggest mistakes by modelers is the concept of a face covering or a mask as a barrier. How many times have we heard this? This is what they keep pushing. This is why it protects your grandma. He says he's seen references to so-called experts who make that claim. This is completely false, this PhD has to say. No face covering or mask is a barrier. Either they do not know what they're talking about or they are misleading people. Probably a little bit of both. As he says, they're filters, not barriers. Filters, not barriers. They filter only the things that they are designed to filter to a level of efficacy based upon design, usually not 100%. And when he says usually, because they're, it's pretty much almost never. And that's just, this is including things like test fitted or N95s. The idea is that cloth and other things are, as we pointed out in the study before, cloth masks like bandanas, even droplets, upwards of 97% get right through the mask. That is directly from a National Library of Medicine study from the NIH, which I will have included in the show notes. It says, for example, the N95 mask is designed and rated to filter particles greater than 0.3 microns at 95% efficiency. It says designed for normal breathing patterns, not exertive force. So the kids that are out there running a mile in their masks, or people that are doing any number of exercise, I mean, kids everywhere, adults being forced to wear them when they're outside. This is not normal. Kids that drop dead from running a mile, we've heard stories about that in China and other places. Because it hurts them. Because it has obvious effects on their blood oxygen level, as the numerous studies from the NIH have shown, that I've shown, that I will also have in the show notes. That's not my opinion. That's what they found in their study, random controlled trial. Not designed to filter infectious agents, but rather inert particles. But they're telling you otherwise, aren't they? Number five, they are not intended to be stuck on your face for hours. What happens if a person wears a mask or face covering? Says we will look at droplets because most face coverings will not stop an aerosol, and the 2020 propaganda has been focused on droplets. Right? So this, even he's calling it propaganda, that they keep talking about droplets, even though we know that that does not make sense. Assuming that a person is shedding virus and they produce droplets that contain hitchhiking virus, and assuming the face covering actually stops all droplets, best case scenario, which never happens, the following molecular pathway will likely occur. And this is really interesting because this, again, and seeing as how we keep bringing it up, oh, forgot that that keeps happening. Forgot there's extra. Here, we'll do this. I have the cloth one that I keep showing you guys. There it goes. It says again, right here, the first random control trial and the last that I've seen on cloth masks. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Influenza-like statistically higher in cloth masks, even compared to the control arm, which means no mask, had higher rates of influenza-like illness. The cloth mask makes you more sick even against no mask. Pretty simple. Very clear. So, speaking of that, here's what he's saying. This is in regard to, we're talking about, I believe, medical masks here. The droplet will lose its moisture. Right, these are three different things that could happen, right? The argument being that your mask will stop it and your grandma won't get sick, right? Well, first option is the droplet will lose its moisture. Whereas it otherwise in the air would slowly float for a minute. And it's actually quite quickly, as I understand it, evaporates the moisture and it stays in the air. But in this case, it's on your mask. It will lose its moisture. The timing may be different than just going out into the air, like I was saying. But it says, however, the expelled droplet may accumulate faster than evaporation. If that happens, so you're breathing in and out, running, let's say, hot, it's cold that day, you're getting moisture in your mask, the facial covering starts to become saturated with moisture, mucus, cellular debris, bacteria, etc., as well as virus molecules. Sure sounds nice and safe, doesn't it? This is why we're having people with the mask mouth and cracked teeth and rashes and all kinds of bacteria, including bacterial pneumonia, which looks exactly like COVID-19. What do you know? Masks are causing that, according to people, the doctors that have been speaking out. Not my opinion, what doctors have been saying. It says the virus molecule does not evaporate. That's number two possibility. So it doesn't evaporate at all based on the circumstances of your mask. This means that the face covering is now contaminated and is a possible source of transmission, both contact and airborne. The third possibility is the virus is not somehow magically glued to the mask, but can be expelled, whether or not there is still moisture. This can happen the next time a person breathes, speaks, coughs, sneezes, hisses, grunts, etc. So the virus can be expelled out into the environment from the face covering. Now, does it sound like this is helping or creating a virus hotspot that continues to be pushed out every time you make a noise? This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of the PhD that we're reading from. You hear that, YouTube? But you're going to censor it anyway. I know. Here is an important point. As more virus molecules accumulate, more are expelled. The face covering is not some virus black hole that sucks the virus into oblivion, right? Let's think about that. It's just going to continue to gather and build as more gets, you know, it's obvious. So if a person is wearing a face covering and they encounter virus aerosols or droplets, the virus and aerosols will likely penetrate. If the droplet is stopped, the surface is now contaminated. The virus, it means that the surface of the covering touches the mouth or nose, you can become contaminated, infected. As he points out, people are breathing and you can see the mask kind of touching their face and coming back in and out. This is a perfect environment for growing bacteria and germs. I mean, look, coming from even a chef perspective, you talk about things that you get taught things about, you know, what causes damage, you know, what creates a perfect environment for bacteria and germs to grow. Things like heat, time, right? Moisture, right? These are things that create the kind of circumstances. So here we have a scenario with all of them. You're wearing a mask for an extended period of time. You're continually adding moisture from your breath to the operation. And your breath is hot off and on and off and on. I mean, it's a petri dish. You're literally creating the perfect example or the perfect scenario to make yourself sick. Now, sure, it may not amount to whatever you think this thing is, but it's still making you sick. Now it says, if you inhale, you can become contaminated. If you touch the face covering, such as pulling it up and down, you can become contaminated. Stopping a droplet is not the same as stopping the virus, right? The illusion they want you to think that doing this is somehow going to end the... I mean, I was just out the other day at a farmer's market. And of course, this band came out to play, like a school band. All of them wearing masks, of course, which made me sick. And then, of course, which is sickening. And of course, then... all the kids were 2 feet apart, right next to each other, which, by the way, I'm not saying that they should or anything. I'm just saying that based on the rules that we're told, they all clearly think the mask means they don't have to do anything else. And they want you to think that. Trust me, they're pushing this even though they don't say it. Everyone was standing shoulder to shoulder. Everyone was close, but they're all wearing masks, right? So they're safe. This is the illusion they're pushing on you. And every one of them know it's not true. Again, it seems to suggest they want you to get sick. I didn't say that's the case. It seems to suggest that. That's my opinion. It boggles my mind when there is some notion that by wearing a face covering, you are actually doing a service to your neighbor. Excuse me. And therefore, everyone has to protect everyone by this. Actually, the opposite is true, he says. The PhD. You are now becoming an additional potential source of environmental contamination. You are now becoming a transmission risk. Not only are you increasing your own risk, but you're also increasing the risk of others while doing what they keep telling you is keeping everybody else safe. What do you know about that? Now, it says, despite the propaganda, herd immunity was the standard before March 2020. It's not a fringe concept. And guys, how is it that how can we not remember? I mean, these very same people were screaming about the same thing, and now suddenly it's a fringe concept? This is how do we pretend that the vaccine, like the herd immunity, what happened before there were vaccines? I guess everyone just I guess humanity was killed off and then it started again, right? Over and over and over until we finally started. No, obviously things came around, people got sick, and yeah, people died, but they eventually gained herd immunity from what happened and they moved forward. And that's why the virus didn't keep spinning back around and over, if you believe these things are true. The point is, suddenly, in March, they suddenly said, oh, whoa, herd immunity, that's only from virus, that's only from vaccines. And all the people that are involved in the vaccine narrative said, yep, science, that's right, that's correct, we're this consensus. And all the blue checks out there who don't know what to think without listening to their masters, they all rushed out and said the same thing. And now you can't say the obvious, verifiable, documented truth without being laughed at on Twitter. The cesspool of humanity, that is Twitter. Now it says, children should not be wearing face coverings. He makes a bunch of points in here. I'm just going to read a few of them. We all need constant interaction with our environments, and that is especially true for children. This is how their immune system develops, and we all know this. They are the lowest of the low risk groups. Let them be kids. Let them develop their immune systems. The CDC has a 0% chance. A zero. Yes, it's 0.00001, but they're on their site. It says zero. And they're the ones we're destroying their lives right now. The mask mandate idea is truly ridiculous, he says. Knee-jerk reaction and needs to be withdrawn and thrown in the waste bin of disastrous policy, along with lockdowns and school closures. You can vote for a person without blindly supporting all of their proposals. Thank you. Thank you, Roger, for having courage. He'll be attacked for this. I promise you he'll be attacked. He probably loses his job. But he deserves your support. Because here's what they're pushing on everybody. So who are you, they ask. Are you the normal one? The one who's out of touch? Well, because you've got the mask below your nose. You're so out of touch. Oh, well, are you the one who thinks you're better than everybody else because you wear it beneath your chin? Oh, you're so much better. Oh, well, then you're the one who doesn't care about anybody because you don't wear a mask. I don't think in this whole evolution of the mask discussion, I don't think I've seen such a disgusting display of emotional manipulation and propaganda. What about the person who has a mask exemption? You know, the one that even the people who made these illegal mandates included? So what did you leave a little caveat down there for, oh, well, make sure not to scream at the people that might have a mask mandate or a mask exemption? No, they didn't do that. So they don't care that people will assume that you don't care about other people to see without a mask, even though you might have a mask exemption. Oh, I guess they just don't care about that, right? Because they don't care, because that was always meant to be the case for you to be forced into doing it. Or the fact that you think you're better than everybody because you have it below your mouth. What if you had trouble breathing? What if you just don't want to wear it? Because you do not understand why they would force in something that's not scientifically supported, something that's being challenged by numerous governments and numerous health administrations. But who cares? You're just a bad person if you don't do exactly. I don't mean partially. If you don't do exactly what you're told, you're a bad person. How do we not see what these people are? You know, it's almost more sickening to me, the people that agree and go along with this, than the people that are pushing it. Almost that these people are lost beyond repair, but I'll still fight for them no matter what. Now, last part on the mask, I just want to point this out that somebody actually just shared with me recently. This is something I'm aware of, but they brought it up and it was something I hadn't thought about how relevant it is to where we are. The Brave New World, just Brave New World, Aldous Huxley. Remember that in this very, very spot on story to where we are right now, let me just read you a little part of this. I'll start right here. It says, they were passing meter 320 on rack 11. A young beta-minus mechanic was busy with screwdriver and spanner on the blood surrogate pump of a passing bottle. The hum of the electric motor deepened by fractions of a tone as he turned the nuts. Down, down, a final twist, a glance at the revolution counter, and he was done. He moved two paces down the line and began the same process on the next pump. Reducing the number of revolutions per minute, Mr. Foster explained. The surrogate goes round slower, therefore passes through the lung at lower intervals, therefore gives the embryo less oxygen. Nothing like oxygen shortage for keeping an embryo at par or below par. Again, he rubbed his hands. Oh, you're wondering what this might mean? Well, of course, because if you haven't read the book, the idea that there are separate, almost, I mean, the idea that this is what we're building here, by the way, in our world, that we're eventually reaching separate species in a way. And this idea that there are just, you know, the better thans and the lesser thans. And in this case, we're seeing this happen in our society now, but to the point to where they even intentionally deprive the embryos of oxygen so that they will remain below par. Because we can't have them getting out of place, right? You're the peons. You can't be in the 0.01%. Just interesting to realize that we're literally staring at an example of a world in which people are being forced to wear something that verifiably reduces their blood oxygen level. And just pretending like that doesn't have any relevance to where we are right now? Interesting. Now, I will include all of the links, as I always do. I don't have it up right now, but I will include all the links. I wanted to actually show it to the studies that I have here. Let me just grab it real quick. Just because I feel like at this point, if we're not showing the things that we're saying, that we'll be attacked for it, right, as usual. But here we have all these studies that we usually show you, that I've showed them many times. I know for some of the people that already know what's coming, but it's important that we see these, especially as we're making the reference point, that we have NIH studies that verbatim talk about a reduction in your blood oxygen level, right? We're talking about the National Library of Medicine on NIH, the physiological impact of wearing an N95 mask. Now, there's other ones about regular masks. I mean, I have all five of them included in the show notes, but the idea that we're talking about various degrees of hypoxemia, this is exactly what the media and these social media influencers are pretending and screaming at you that it's fake news. I have ones from 2020 that say the same thing. But yeah, but it's all fake news though, right? So as we're staring at this example of them creating a lesser than society of people that they can control, seems alarmingly relevant, does it not? But let's get back into the COVID discussion in regard to Sweden, right? So we're at a point now where they're clearly censoring anything that goes about against the narrative. It's been happening for a long time. It's kicked into high gear. We have an obvious example of a place that did it right, or at least did it better than anybody else. And yet all they can do is attack them in every possible way because they cannot be wrong, right? You see media, government, these people don't ever come out and go, oops, our mistake, we made the wrong choice. That never, ever, ever happens. When's the last time you heard that? Never. They don't do it. Because they have an excuse. They have a justification. They come out and say, oh, well, here's why, and here's what we're going to do now. I mean, there's always some next part of it. It's never just simply our bad. That was completely the wrong thing to do. You will never hear them say that. So the media, instead of admitting that the deaths are continuing to go down and that Sweden never actually locked down, their economy is completely fine, everything's going well, that you can't say that because that shows you that they sided with the wrong narrative. Now, this is from Tony Heller's channel, doing an excellent job. No lie too big for the press in 2020. Here, I just wanted to give him a shout out because this is where I first saw it. Now, here is the article itself. The Swedish COVID-19 response is a disaster, they say. God, I mean, how embarrassing for Time Magazine. A disaster. Really? I mean, you could maybe argue some of the finer points, but a disaster. A disaster is what's happening in this country. The United States is a disaster. Half the country unemployed. Right? I mean, people can't feed their families. The economy's completely collapsed at this point. I mean, I shouldn't say completely, but it's obviously a really bad way. Your rights are being removed. They're creating a whole new society and reimagining it for you. I mean, this is a disaster, guys. I mean, I even take that back and say it's not a disaster. It's an orchestrated ruin. Disaster implies like it wasn't planned. It shouldn't be a model for the rest of the world, Time Magazine says. More specifically, Kelly Bjorklund and Andrew Ewing. Two people that you should never, ever listen to again. And you'll see why. Because they are openly lying to you in about every way possible. At the very least, being willfully deceptive and misrepresenting the reality. Now, it says, and this, I love how this is the way it starts. So this is their big thing. As a matter, not they're saying we predict or this or that. It is a disaster and it shouldn't be the model. And it says, well, at this point, we can predict. I love that it starts out that way. They're almost certain to result in a net failure. Oh, so it's not a net failure and suffering? Yeah, okay. But you predict that's what will happen. Cool time. I love that you're making a broad assumption and then just stating that as a matter of fact in your headline, because that's good journalism, right? Now, it says a study published October 12th in the Journal of American Medical Association. And I believe, no, I have the other one up there. It says Sweden and the U.S. essentially make up a category of two. They are the only countries with high overall mortality rates that have failed to rapidly reduce those numbers as the pandemic has progressed. But you see, first of all, we're talking about overall mortality rates, and then we're talking about the fact that this is a country that is smaller, a country that has not shut down its economy, and a country that has allowed its people to continue about their free lives. That cannot be overstated. I would be willing to bet everything right now that most of the people that are truly suffering in the United States would have hands down taken the opportunity for a little more of a dangerous path forward to not have to be in this position, to not have to completely rely on the government for food for your family. I'm pretty sure they would prefer that. But of course, we have to remember that all these numbers are based on faulty PCR tests and medical information that's been distorted, lied, profit motives for any number of different scenarios that, as a matter of fact, these numbers are at very least not accurate. To what degree, as usual, that's debatable. But we know, as a matter of fact, they're not accurate. Even the mainstream groups are now saying this. But they're not, of course, they're making it a very small reality instead of the very all-encompassing reality that it is. But of course, it's funny how they lump these two in and say essentially these two are the ones, and then go on to go after Sweden for the entire article and never make another comparison to how most of the things they're laying out about Sweden are far, far, far better than the United States, as well as most other places. But we'll get to this graphic and things in a minute. It says, yet the architects of the Swedish plan are selling it as a success to the rest of the world. Why? Because it was a success. Because their economy is still open and people are still going about their lives and they are walking around and doing things that they want. Well, you're being forced to wear a mask, can't go to your job, don't have a job, and can't leave your home when they don't tell and tell you can't, and are being violently arrested if you challenge any of these things, and your freedoms are being taken away in every possible way. But yeah, they failed, right? It says, and officials in other countries, including at the top levels of the United States government, are discussing the strategy as one to emulate. Just by the way, that's incredibly not true. There have been people that have talked about it, but to pretend that the U.S. in any way is discussing going that route, that they're actually seemingly going there, it's just obviously not true. Are discussing the strategy, and that's my opinion, and discussing the strategy as one to emulate, despite the reality that doing so will almost certainly increase the rates of death and misery. Oh, okay, time. I love how you just make that claim. By the way, don't expect them to follow that up with verifying claims of why that will almost certainly do so. You see, what they're doing is they're taking the safe, the comfortable agreed upon realities that aren't actually verified, right? The fact that lockdowns work, the fact that masks will save your life, the fact that this thing is the biggest coronavirus death of all time, or that we're in the biggest pandemic we've ever seen in our lives, right? These things aren't true. None of them are. To varying degrees, there's falsities in all of that. But you're within the mainstream media, within the government circles, within all of this, it's safe to say so. You can come out and make the argument that lockdowns work, and if you argue that, you're a fake news conspiracy theorist, and you'll be cheered on by all of them. Doesn't matter about facts or evidence because that's an agreed upon safe comment. So when they're saying that it'll almost certainly increase the rate, well, there's no evidence to back that up. And in fact, the evidence is countering exactly that. The literal evidence of Sweden is countering that as they make this argument. I mean, how stupid is that? It'll almost certainly increase the death and misery. Didn't this first time, but I'm sure it will the second time though. Good job, time. Countries that locked down early and or used extensive tests and tracing, including Denmark, Finland, Norway, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Vietnam, and New Zealand, saved lives and limited damage to their economies. Not true, by the way. The actual stats show you that these lockdowns, in fact, did the opposite. I mean, there are the argument because the point is that they took action, right? And then when things went on to happen, they take any positive metric and say, well, that's because of the lockdown. That's not true. Or at the very least, it's not verified. I argue it's very clearly not true based on every other example we have that showed the lockdowns actually increased the problem. And as well as the fact that now the World Health Organization is saying that we shouldn't be doing it. And so is most everybody else that started to be honest about it. But of course, you know, the United States government, they'll never give up on their narrative. They'll just call everyone liars and start attacking people. But sure, certainly, right? Certainly. It says countries that lock down and it says that they save lives and limited damage to their economies. But what they're saying there is that because they chose to lock down early, that they didn't cause the damage to their economy that we're currently seeing. But this is to imply that the coronavirus would have caused the economic damage. I mean, the virus doesn't cause economic damage. It's the actions of the government because of that that causes the damage. This is such an obvious misstep or sidestep. You can't argue that the lockdown limited damage to anything. The lockdown is what caused the damage. This is just painful. This is bad writing. But it goes on to say, despite this, Sweden's public health agency director John Carlson has claimed that the Swedish situation remains favorable. Yeah, because they're obviously better off than just about everybody else. And the country's response has been consistent and sustainable, he says, because it has been. They haven't seemingly faltered. The data, however, show that the case rate in Sweden, the case rate, as elsewhere in Europe, is currently increasing. Oh, you mean the cases based on a upwards of 90% false positive test called the PCR test? Yeah. Let's scream about the cases, and then you can go on telling us why we're not listening. Sweden is in a bad way as you scream about the cases that don't amount to the deaths. I mean, we keep showing you this. How many times do I keep showing you the reality? Oh, here's the Sweden's cases. Here's Sweden's deaths. Do you think that Time Magazine doesn't see that? They just don't care. They have an agenda. They have a job. Someone's signing their checks. They know what they have to do. Very clear, by the way. Now it says average daily cases rose 173% nationwide from September to September 30th. Cases in Stockholm, that number increased 405% at the same time. Oh my God, it keeps going. But no deaths. All right? You see how they can do this. They can get all worked up about the numbers and 405% increase, 173 from this to October 30th. But it doesn't mean anything when there's no deaths. Right? I mean, it's just that stupid that they keep doing this and people will act like we're crazy for not freaking out about the cases. Though some have argued that rising case numbers can be attributed to the increasing testing, right? You see how they just leave out also the false positive rate that they'll otherwise discuss as a false negative possibility for why it's way worse. Wildly dishonest. A recent study of Stockholm's wastewater published on October 5th by the Swedish Royal Institute of Technology argues otherwise. Which is interesting. They're seemingly to kind of noting on this idea, predicting COVID outbreaks in advance using the wastewater. It's not an accident. These things are being floated in different articles, right? This is what they're building. They're building their medical pre-crime outfit underneath you right now, or at least in these locations they're talking about. And by year's end, should be there. Now it says, yet even with this rise in cases, the government is easing the few restrictions it had in place. So get this. So even as they note that they might just be because of the testing with false positive tests, but even with these cases, they just go right back to the argument, right? It's just breathlessly, oh, but with all the cases, they're not even doing what they're supposed to, right? It's like, it's just so stupid. From early on, the Swedish government seemed to treat it as a foregone conclusion that many people would die. I mean, well, okay. So think about how ridiculous it is that they're trying to make it sound like they accepted people would die, then took actions that had a pretty reasonable amount of deaths in comparison to a lot of other places. And that's bad because they allowed it to happen. But yet the U.S. government, who arguably was doing what they were supposed to, or at least, you know, however you want to play that two-party illusion part in there. But lockdown, masks, border stuff, and has way, way more deaths, even per capita, understand. So how can you make an argument that it's a foregone conclusion because they're smart enough to see what was coming? They're smart enough to understand that what they did was the right thing to do. And by doing what the U.S. did and many other governments did, they only made the problem worse, which is very, very clear. But you see, from this point forward, they don't even reference anybody else. They just go on to make these really broad, specific points that when compared to everybody else, continue to show Sweden made it right. It says emails obtained suggest that the goal was all along, in fact, to develop herd immunity. Oh, no. You got him, Time Magazine. Good. What a journalistic endeavor. You got him. Right? Like, this is the stupidest part about this, is they're trying to make it seem like herd immunity, which lost that spot. Where were we? Oh, it doesn't matter. But the idea that herd immunity was some kind of fringe idea. Oh, it was at the bottom of this, actually. You guys know what I'm talking about. But he said that the PhD and the other article we talked about, that no, it's not a fringe idea. It didn't just start in March 2020. It's been around forever. And Sweden was honest enough to say that's what we were doing. It either suggests that Sweden was the only country, seemingly, that was not going along with the game plan, or that there's something more going on here, that Sweden's just playing their part of this deception. Who ultimately knows? But to say that they, like, secret emails obtained that show that they were doing exactly what they openly stated they were doing? Bombshell. What? That's just bad writing. But here, they have all this, they have this whole thing over here. It's actually in this COVID fact check. They, like, created their own website, apparently. Time Magazine says, here's all the documents so you can see for yourself. That they are caught doing what they were openly saying they were doing. It's amazing to me. It says, for the sake of transparency, we created that website and we're posted some of the documents. It's really a joke. It's meant to make it seem like they've got some big thing. None of this is any bombshell. None of this has been secret. Everything they've been doing has been right on its face. It says the retired doctor recommended allowing healthy people to be infected in controlled settings as a way to fight the epidemic. Do you know what that's exactly like? Vaccines. It says one point would be to keep schools open to reach herd immunity faster. Of course, you see, this is where they're trying to get you disconnected from the real world examples of what this is based on. Right? They want you to think that only vaccines work. Don't question it. Don't even understand the science. Just listen to the doctors, because vaccines you have to have. Only way to reach the thing that naturally happened before we ever invented this, but don't talk about that. What he's talking about is they're writing this as if it's breathless. They're like, oh my God, we can't believe this retired doctor would recommend them to be infected. Like, this is that this is what a lot of these documents go over. Like, they're leaked emails that show they were saying this. It's nothing new. The idea that vaccines create an antibody, a reaction to create antibodies in your body. That's what they're supposed to do, or so we're told. So the idea of getting people infected in a mildly infected in a controlled setting is literally how the concept of vaccine started. They would literally take a little bit of the virus and just poke it in your arm and a little cut, and hopefully you would just get a mild version of it and you would pass it, and then you'd have antibodies, right? It's so incredible to watch these people scream about science while they're hoping that you're just too stupid to actually know history and the science. They don't want you to trust the science. They want you to trust what they tell you is the science. What they're discussing here is basic. It says the country never closed daycare schools for children under the age of 16, and school attendance is mandatory under Swedish law, with no option for distance learning or homeschooling, even for family members in high-risk groups. You mean the children have a 0% chance of getting this and dying? Oh, yeah. What a monster. It says policymakers essentially decided to use children and schools as participants in an experiment to see if herd immunity to a deadly disease could be reached. Well, no, that's their opinion, based on the action to not restrict the lives of children. But sure, let's trust the Time Magazine that's already made a bunch of grasping, leaping assumptions based on nothing but their opinion and safe, comfortable talking points. What they did was not restrict the movement and lives of children that weren't at risk of a disease that's arguably not very, very, very deadly, based on the information directly from the CDC and the World Health Organization, which we're going to show you in a minute. But they'll probably censor us for saying that anyway. It says policymakers essentially decided to use children in schools and participants in experiment. No, they let them go about their lives, and it made you mad, so you call it an experiment. Multiple outbreaks at schools occurred in both the spring and autumn. How many died, by the way? Oh, that's right. None. It says at this point, whether herd immunity was the goal or a byproduct of the Swedish plan is semantics, because it simply hasn't worked. Well, according to them. See, not working means they didn't reach an arbitrary number of immunity. Which, by the way, I don't even know if you could actually accurately find that to be some... But at the end of the day, their lives are still intact. Their jobs are still there. Their businesses aren't closed. They're allowed to go to the movies, go to the store, go to the beach, go to the park. They can do what they want. But sure, what a disaster. After all, he says herd immunity to infectious disease has never been achieved without a vaccine. Are you kidding me? This is the Time magazine. Once again, don't forget, we're talking about, just make sure you get these people in your mind. Kelly Bjorklund and Andrew Ewing are liars. I mean, flat out liars. I mean, that's a straight up deception. The idea that we've never, I mean, so what about the plagues and things that came around long before we ever had vaccine technology? You mean that did they all die? Did humanity just get completely wiped off and we were reborn again? Obviously, no, it worked its way through a large portion of the population and then it never came back again because those people had antibodies. But sure, listen to Time magazine because I'm a crazy idiot. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? I mean, this is how they're framing. And look, and you could even argue that about me, but understand that there are plenty of people that are expert medical professionals who are falling out of their chair when something like this is written. It's just unbelievable we can be in this position. And all they can do is bank on your desire, hopeful, they hope is your desire, to just blindly follow what you're told because of fear. Now, it says his government and the public health agency all say that the high COVID-19 death rate in Sweden can be attributed to the fact that a large portion of these deaths occurred in nursing homes. Of course, Time, at the very least, I'm actually surprised that Time even included that. But of course, they don't give you any more. They give you a very small paragraph and they jump right to the next argument and pretend that that didn't get said. The reality that the obvious example that elderly homes, nursing homes, in every situation, predominantly in the United States, where upwards of some states had like 80% of their deaths in nursing homes, was an obvious problem other places. But they want you to read this and think, ooh, Sweden, bad guy. They didn't do what they were. They didn't take care of the elderly. Let's not talk about numerous examples elsewhere that are far, far worse than what we're seeing here. Let's just pretend like this makes Sweden a disaster. That's what they want. That's what they want you to think when you walk away from this. It says, in one case which seems representative of how seniors were treated, again, remember what happened in New York. Despicable. Remember, I mean, thinking of this now, since we're talking about these care homes, you know, this was actually, I had something at the end here. I'm jumping all over the place today, but why not? Why not? This is a really sad example. We're talking about nursing homes, right? As they're trying to disparage Sweden for what they're doing. Here's the UK. As I said, it breaks my heart. Let's do it first.
This is my dad, and what I'm doing is illegal. I am holding his hand. This is my dad, and what I'm doing is illegal. I am holding his hand through the window. And this is all I can do to see him, which is pretty bloody sad. Because he's got dementia, I can't even talk to him. Now, the nurses here are lovely, and everybody is really nice, but the bloody rules don't make any sense, so I have to stick my arm in a window. That's all I can do, see him through a freaking window. This is inhumane, and it doesn't make any sense anymore.
So her dad's got dementia, and all she can do is hold his hand through the window. It just makes me sick. I gotta stop saying that, because it just, you know, it implies there's a metric of control over my body. It does make, you know, makes me physically sick, but it's sickening. That this is the world we live in. Can we please stop mindlessly following and enforcing, and just think? Think about the reality of where we are. It's incredible. But they're pretending Sweden's scenario with nursing homes and the way they treated the elderly was so terrible. And you know what? I'm not even arguing that maybe it was. But I mean, at this point, it's almost impossible to see it as that bad when we can see what happened here. We can see what happened in our country, and they pretend like, you know, do you realize that nobody outside of independent media, I feel like I'm remembering somebody, but so few people actually talked about this discussion, like really dove into it and said, this is basically murder. These people, this is, at the very least, it's obvious malfeasance. They chose to just not care about these people. And some of the most vulnerable among us, upwards of 80% in some of these places were only in nursing homes. It says, in this case, represents the seniors that were treated in Sweden. Patient, this individual was not seen by a doctor the day before he died from COVID at a care home in Stockholm. The nurse told the daughter that her father was given a shot of morphine before he passed away, that no oxygen was administered and staff did not call an ambulance. No one was there and he died alone, she says. Okay, so let's compare. So we have an example of people getting forced intubated where they shove tubes down their throat, which we now know they don't need because it makes it more dangerous. And that's what that happened to almost, I mean, pretty much all the elderly discussions that I've had. And they also just ignored them. They sent in a bunch of COVID positive people within their homes. And it basically was just a plague scenario inside their homes. But in this case, we're talking about people that weren't treated like that, that were in their areas, that were instead because of the increase in other activities were deemed less necessary to treat. Somebody who was already going to die, somebody who was already struggling, had numerous comorbidities. That at that time when they have numerous other people that are struggling from, you know, in the moment issues, so we're being told anyway, that this is the triage system. I mean, I understand this is exactly how our system runs here. But the difference was they cared for this person. They were there. They gave them a morphine shot instead of forcing tubes down their throat, which is probably pretty damn painful. So instead, this person died. And I'm not arguing any of these situations are ideal. You're in a situation where you're dealing with things that are unexpected and so on. But in this case, we have an elderly person who was actually treated and given something that made them pass quietly and painlessly. Whereas on the other hand, we have just untold amounts of elderly people that were forced, intubated, and killed in a very painful fashion. Others that were just left to die in a place where they didn't have anybody. Their family wasn't even allowed to see them. But sure, let's hate on Sweden because we got it wrong, right? Let's hate them because they did what we should have done. In order to be admitted for hospital care, patients needed to have breathing problems, and even then, many were reportedly denied care. Because that didn't happen anywhere else in the world, right? Regional healthcare managers in each of Sweden's 21 regions who are responsible for care at hospitals, as well as implementing public health agency guidelines, have claimed that no patients were denied care during the pandemic. Oh, I see. So they're saying it didn't happen, and time is just saying it did, though, because we said so. Do you love that? I mean, it's just like this. So you're not even sure that actually happened. And yet here you are just jamming it in because by the way, it's far less severe than what we saw in the United States. It says, but internal local government documents from April and some of Sweden's regions, including those covering the biggest cities of Stockholm, Gothenburg, and Malmo, also show directives for how some patients, including those receiving home care, those living at nursing homes and assisted living facilities, and those with special needs could not receive oxygen or hospitalization in some situations. Do you love how they tried to make it sound like they were going to come around with some big point? And be like, well, they said this, but we found documents that said nothing that was relevant. Right? Or just, you know, the big lack of a bombshell at the end of this thing they built up to sound like they were going to sell you the point for why Sweden lied. Well, no. They said, well, we're not going to give you oxygen, probably because they knew that it would kill them. Well, let's make that out to be a bad thing. And at the end of the day, the life continued on. People have their jobs. People can feed their families. The economy wasn't closed. But yeah, what a disaster over there. These guidelines led to many people with healthcare needs unrelated to COVID-19 not getting care they needed, which happened in literally every situation on the planet that was dealing with the same thing. And in fact, happened dramatically more severe in this country. But sure, Sweden sucks, right? With some even dying as a result of collateral damage of Sweden's COVID-19 strategy. Some meaning that we're not going to tell you how much because we straight up killed a lot of people with exactly what we did. And it's not even close to the minimal numbers we could try to pretend happened. I mean, the reason there's nothing there is because this is probably stuff being challenged by Sweden. At the end of the day, you're arguing that people died because of COVID-19. Well, isn't that literally what everyone else is saying? It's just staggering that this is mainstream media to me. And of all of time, one of these, you know, long-standing entities. It says Sweden did try some things to protect citizens from the pandemic. Oh, I love that. Well, they did try some things, right? Like what they did was nothing. And they try a few things, though. And that when they mean try things, it means they finally came around to doing some of the things that we are forcing on everybody. It says the government restricted public gatherings to 500 people, and the next day, the public health agency issued a press release telling people with possible COVID symptoms to stay home. On March 17th, understand that these were all things that were not, I mean, as I've spoken to numerous people there, the idea is that these were mostly recommendations, if not entirely, that people were not forced to do anything, as far as I could tell. It says, starting on April 1st, the government restricted visits to retirement homes, which reopened to visitors on October 1st without mask recommendations for visitors or staff. Right. They could if they wanted to. They didn't force them to, is the point. And that is the part that they don't like. They don't like that they didn't force people to do it. It says, government restricted visits, it says, later than in other Nordic countries. Oh, okay, so these recommendations, they say, even when they did recommend masks and whatever else, they came later than everybody else. Oh, they're so behind the curve. Except the other countries were forcing people to do it. And you see, they just leave that out. Meanwhile, Sweden built neither the testing nor the contact tracing capacity that other wealthy European countries did. Now, we're just supposed to pretend that's a bad thing. Right? Like, they didn't use their wildly invasive contact tracing surveillance method like everybody else did. What an undemocratic country. Right? Like, how stupid this is. The entire argument, this entire article rests on the argument that what everybody else did, championed by the US government, was inherently the good, honorable, righteous thing to do. That's not true. But you see, when you pump in wrong information to begin with, you get the wrong answers. And they know that. The reason they didn't want to do any of these things to begin with is because they didn't have a plan to do all the restrictive and invasive things that everybody else was doing. They didn't need to do these things, and it worked for them. Because maybe you could argue they've got a higher death more per capita, but you could argue there's any number of reasons why that is. And that on top, and by the way, that is even less for dramatic than we're going to show you in a minute, than pretty much everybody else we're talking about here. On top as the fact that their life continued on, that they didn't lose their jobs and everything that they ever cared about. Here is Sweden right now.
So we are going to start on one of the main streets in Gothenburg. It's called Kungsportsavenyn.
This is...
And right now I'm just walking towards the city center.
This one is the in July, I believe, or June.
You can see people here.
But there's videos of this of yesterday.
Enjoying the summer sun. And I should note that this is on a Friday after work, so... People are enjoying themselves.
Here, do you remember when your life was still like this? Right? Do you remember when you were allowed to go sit out in the sun and not wear, and just do what you... I mean, look, this is in the world. This is in the world right now where you're told COVID-19 is tearing everything apart. How does that possibly make sense? Right? Look, even the argument that this is... that they have a higher mortality rate. I mean, if this is what they're telling us it is... Wouldn't that then immediately translate to just everybody getting sick and everybody keeling over and nothing happening? Well, obviously that's not happening. So even with an increased mortality rate, that has to then immediately mean that that mortality rate is not even really associated with what we're looking at. This is based on what they're telling us. Look, people in there, in the restaurants, sitting down. The guys, life is normal in Sweden. And there's no way that you can argue this is a disaster other than trying to nitpick around small points that try to misrepresent the reality, period. Look, people in the gyms. I mean, this guy did this for a reason, obviously, but this is Sweden, guys. They laugh at you. They're laughing at how ridiculous everybody is being. Here, hold on. Let's see what that says.
Come to the next stop. This is Systembolaget. And this sign says, you can wait a little longer today. Because of coronavirus, we are limiting the amount of customers in the store.
So in this case, we have a store individually choosing on their own accord to limit how many people can go in there, right? Now that is absolutely up to the store, right? The idea of how your capacity is very different than forcing somebody to wear an object on their face. And of course, that will very clearly limit their profit, but that's up to them. Right? You can open a store and let one person at a time if you want. But the end of the day is you cannot force these things on people. But their life is continuing on. It always has been because they never took it away from them, guys. They took it away from you. And they tried, and this right now, this is time screaming at you to not think that this is okay. They want you to see this and go, horror, the horror. Look at how Sweden dares to challenge the world and they're probably all going to die tomorrow, right? Has to be, right? Because it's the biggest thing in the world and we're all going to die, right? Because they keep telling us that. Cases, right? What's happening here? How does it make sense? Now it says family members of those who tested positive must attend school in person, unlike many other countries where if one person in the household tests positive, the entire family quarantines, usually 14 days. Again, these are all just redundant points. It's because they are not afraid of it because one, according to the experts we're going to show next and many others, it's about as dangerous as the flu and that they deal with that all the time and that the herd immunity is now, I mean, all the things we've already talked about. So to continue just to dig into the same points because they're different than what other countries have done and notably countries that are in a really bad way right now, how, what kind of ignorant person does it take to make an argument that that's better? I can tell you who. I can tell you two, these two right here and Time Magazine. It takes those kind of ignorant people. It's just staggering. And it's actually sickening because you realize that what they're doing is putting more people at risk by pushing these lies. It says on October 1st, the Public Health Authority issued a non-binding rules of conduct that opened the possibility for doctors to be able to recommend that certain individuals stay home for 7 days if a household member tests positive for COVID-19. So arguably, you could see here that Sweden still believes this is something. But they clearly do not think it's what we're being told it is. They're just simply laying this down. So if they have severe cases, they can say, well, you're obviously very sick and you have an individual should stay home. And that, I mean, even that I take issue with, to be very clear. Governments, as you guys should know well by now. It says, but there are major holes in the rules, they say. They do not apply to children, of course, because children are at zero risk, but they just, Time Magazine and all of the mainstream just can't get that through their heads. They just keep screaming about, oh, can somebody think of the children? And it's 0%. It says, all ages, people in the household who previously have a positive PCR or antibody test. But it says, Sweden's government officials stuck to their party line. Don't you love that? Not that they know that they're right and they listen to the science and they listen to the people in their country who want freedom. No. They just stuck to their party line because it's politics. No. See, Time, that's you and your politics ridden brain that can't get outside of that, who can't see it as anything else. Or that's what you want us to think. In any case, that's not what they're doing. They laid it out for you and said, here's the science, here's the facts, and we're not going to go against that, regardless of how you attack us. Oh, politics. It says, public health agency said at a press conference on July 14th that we see around the world that masks are used in a way so that you rather increase the spread of infection. Right? That's, here you go. This is the public health agency in Sweden telling you that your mask, in fact, increases the spread of infection. That's what they're saying. That's their opinion. If you can't speak on what a public health agency has to say about this, then you know where we are right now. YouTube is going to censor this video. Even though everything I'm stating you can see is sourced, most of these from exactly the sources they otherwise point to. It says more exposed without face masks at a time when the rest of the world is clearly endorsing widespread mask wearing. Okay, so because everyone else does it, it must be right. Clearly, that's never the case, guys. History is so rife with examples of just because the masses do it doesn't make it the right thing to do. But sure, let's go with mass adoption. Let's go with mob rule, Time Magazine. That sounds smart. It says on August 13th, Tegnell said that to recommend masks to the public, quite a lot of resources are required. There is quite a lot of money that would be spent if you are going to have masks. Indeed, emails begin, this is where they try to argue that they didn't do it because money. It says, indeed, emails between Tegnell and colleagues at the Public Health Agency and Andreas Johansson in the Ministry of Health and Social Affairs show that the policy concerns of the health authority were influenced by financial interests, including the commercial concerns of Sweden's airports. Right, because none of these other countries even considered finances at all, right? Gosh, it's so inherently dishonest to pretend like the normal concerns of any government when applied through a lens that you want them to be bad is just a bad, evil, bad thing. How dare they put the, I mean, they're saying very clearly that the science is there and they're pointing to the science. And now they're just saying, oh, well, they're just lying because they don't want to spend the money. This is just an intellectually dishonest argument, but so is everything they're saying. It says, Swedavia, the owner of the country's largest airport, says, quote, our union representatives fought for us to have masks at work, the employee said. But the airport's response was that we were an authority that would not spread fear, but we would show that the virus was not so dangerous. Oh, I see. So Time decided to take a single person's word over the entity and the entire public health agency of Sweden. That's good journalism too, right? So this one guy stands up and says that we wanted masks and they wouldn't give it to us. And they just said, well, we didn't. How much you want to bet? I mean, I'm not going to even theorize. The point is that this is such bad writing. And that if we did this and took one person's word who just spoke on the record versus the literal government agencies, they would have a field day with us. They would say, look at these silly non-journalists in Penn. Look at them. They don't even know how to be. You got to trust the government sources, right? I mean, it's just so dumb that they do exactly what they say we're not supposed to do. In any case, the point is that they've made it very clear it's about the science. And sure, maybe they're lying. Maybe finances had a bigger role to play in it. That doesn't change the fact that the science is not there. And I can attest to that myself. It says Swedavia's reply was that they had introduced the infection control measures recommended by the authorities. On July 1st, the company changed its policy, recommending masks for everyone who comes to it, recommending. Right? So they're saying you can wear one. What monsters? So basically, Time is upset that they're not forcing people to wear masks that crack their teeth and give them bad breath and cause rashes and create pneumonia infections and do everything else we're talking about, according to the NIH. But sure, what bad disaster country Sweden is because they're not forcing you to do things that are completely questionable. Public Health Agency Director Joanne Carlson and General Counsel Bitt Brisand wrote to the Ministry of Health and Social Affairs, cautioning the government about costs associated with classifying COVID-19 as a socially dangerous disease. And here comes the reality. They say, quote, after a decision on quarantine, costs for it, compensation, which according to the act must be paid to those who, due to the quarantine decision, must refrain from gainful employment. So the reality comes out after they bleat about their opinion, which is the fact that they said that there are costs that come along with quarantines, which we are living right now. So you could argue that maybe they meant financial costs, or maybe they just meant the obvious societal costs that come along with forcing these quarantines. But then they also go into specific compensation, according to an act. Why? Because Sweden has on their in their laws that they have to pay you if they force you to quarantine. What a monster, right? Because that's what we don't have in this country, and my family still hasn't gotten their stimulus check. Lovely. But because they're concerned with having to pay out every single citizen that's on quarantine, which would be astronomical, that makes them bad people, according to Time magazine. And then they also cite the science, but, you know, who cares about the science? It says the uncertainty factors are many, even when calculating these costs. Society can also suffer a loss of production due to being quarantined, prevented from performing gainful employment, which they would otherwise have performed. That's more of the quote. They're literally saying exactly what every American is right now screaming about, that what they did has untold costs. They destroyed your business. You have no gainful employment. You can't, all the things they listed off. They destroyed your life, and they're still not even paying you for it. But you see, Sweden knew that they would have to pay for it. Sweden never implemented quarantine in the society, and guess what? Their life is continuing. They won. They succeeded. They did the right thing, and they just can't handle it. It also goes on to say, not only did these lack of measures likely result in more infection disease, don't you love that? They can't even say with certainty that the lack of measures did anything. This is Time magazine writing an entire article about how they failed and it's a disaster. And this is their final. They say, well, they likely caused more death. How is this even journalism? How are these people even allowed to write? Sweden has fears are far worse economically than other Nordic countries. That's what they have to say. Okay, well, this is the real final point. Their argument after all these other things is that, well, you know, metrically and per capita, and well, okay, it comes down to the fact that their economy is struggling anyway. So it didn't even really save them, even though that's fundamentally not true. And by the way, as we remember, they were talking about the lockdowns. I forgot I had that point up there, where they're saying that they didn't even do this until July 1st or June. That wasn't the one there. Anyway, the point was that if you look at the times these things happened, the very first time that the U.S. government decided their 15 days, which is turned into 9 months, cool, or eight or whatever it is, minus the beginning, that happened on March 16th. So if we're talking about Sweden doing this like a matter of weeks later and pretending like that was catastrophic, it's intellectually dishonest. They are knowingly lying to you. But here's the point about the economy. Is that ultimately, Oh, I gotta hold on. Dang it. There we go. I just want to pull this window up so you can see it. Ultimately, it's an incognito. It's a one of these blocked windows, so I have to bring it up somewhere else. But Sweden's GDP slumped 8.6% in quarter two, more sharply than its neighbors, despite its no lockdown policy. Right, this is just more dogpiling, right? Jumping on the pile, trying to Sweden failed. They're a disaster. Nothing they did right. But here's the problem. Why this is just completely dishonest is because, how's it going to come back from this one now? At the end of the day, there's a lot more going on than gross domestic product, right? There's only one metric in a lot of metrics that are used to decide whether someone's economy is actually doing okay. As it says here, a barometer of economic growth. Growth is a measure called gross domestic product. So we're talking about growth. Right, so in the middle of what's going on, it's pretty obvious that most places probably aren't going to rapidly expand with increase in death and you know, some people choosing to lock down of their own accord. You're going to have a pause or whatever. And what they're arguing is that they had a decrease. Dang it, I hate that these have to be on incognito windows. They're saying here they had a decrease. So that means they failed, right? They failed. There's no way they could succeed if they had a slump in their GDP. Well, the reality is they're yet again trying to deceive you based on a lot of things. The idea is there's a bunch more that goes into deciding whether or not somebody is actually having a problem. First, one of them is yield curve. The idea, not to get too deep into it, the reality is that Sweden's yield curve is looking pretty good. As it says here, one of the most closely watched indicators of an impending recession is the yield curve. Even compared to the United States. Oh, I thought I had that one up. It's just, you know, both they're, it's doing well is a point. So just because their GDP has not increased or it's actually slumped a little bit, as pretty much everybody's has, is not an indication their economy is collapsing like in this country. Well, let's keep going. There's more of them, right? We have things such as confidence indexes, which have to do with how people perceive how things are going. Well, in Sweden, the consumer confidence indicator in Sweden increased by 3.2 points from the previous month to 88.3. So they got better, right? So they don't want to tell you that, right? People feel. So think about how important that is. The confidence index, the way that they perceive it, it went up. So even the people there believe that they're doing better, but don't listen to them. Don't listen to the government. Don't listen to Time Magazine. Here, and this is, for some reason, this one, when you click on the link, it brings you to the wrong page. But here's the actual numbers, and it's on the same website. Link is included. Consumer confidence in the United States averaged 86.56 points from 1952 until 2020, reaching an all-time high, which also went up. But then a record low of 51.7 in May. Anyway, the point was, arguably, these things are not bad in the sense, the biggest one to get to here is the point, is that Sweden's unemployment rate rose a little bit, 8.3% in September from 6. Again, I think most places are going to see a little bit of these drops, but here is the staggering reality. Employment rate in the United States increased to 56.5% in September from 56.5, right? So a huge portion of this country is not working. We know this already, though. But of course, it's only because of the pandemic, though, right? No, it's because of the actions of our government. But there's a lot more going on here that we could go through. Employment data. The point is, guys, to pretend like GDP by itself is just showing you that their country, their economy is collapsing is an aggressive misrepresentation. And they're doing so intentionally. Time Magazine, as well as everybody else that is desperate to get you to think that they failed over there, because it shows you the obvious plot hole in everything they're saying. Now it says, more exposed without face masks at a time when the rest of the world is clearly endorsing it. I already went over that. Oh, right here. So it says, our quarantine compensation, which according to the act, we went over this as well. Where were we? I think we were right here. So the Swedish way has yielded little but death and misery, they say. Oh, this is the economy right here. So remember what they're saying right here. Sweden has fared worse economically than other Nordic countries. But you see why that's a fallacy? Because faring economically is not something you compare necessarily to a local country or similar per capita. It's just simple economic benefit or economic prosperity. You can compare it with anybody going through a similar problem. So the United States, you can compare with Sweden, and you can clearly see that the United States is in a drastically worse economic situation. Of course, they'll blame it on COVID-19, but look at Sweden. Thriving, living their lives, people walking around, enjoying their day, sitting at restaurants. You cannot call this a failure, a disaster. I mean, it is really ignorant to think that if it was continuing to expand like they're making it sound like it would be, if it was unchecked like this, that we wouldn't just see these everybody infected. Like, they want you to believe in this country right now, if we don't do everything all the time, that this will rip through the country and we're all going to get infected. Well, here it is. Here is an example of a country that has been doing this from the very beginning. And no, they had their spike and it very quickly went down to basically nothing. Pretty revealing. The Swedish way has yielded little but death and misery, they say, right? Can you really believe that they had the nerve to say that after what we just showed you? Does that look like death and misery? I mean, how embarrassing for Time Magazine that they are so dedicated to the lie that they're willing to come out and just state such obvious fallacies. Little but death and misery and, you know, the continuing prosperity of their economy and your life and your business and every your freedom. But yeah, death and misery, totally. And this situation has not been honestly portrayed to the Swedish people or to the rest of the world. Okay, Time, you want to tell these Swedish people? Feel free, inform them that they're only living death and misery right now. Please, have at it. I wonder what they would have to say. It says, this is not the only case where Swedish officials have misrepresented data in an effort to make the situation seem more under control than it really is. Understand, guys, you can look up about 1,000 videos like this right now. Everybody there is more than happy to share the fact that they are living it up while you're locked down wearing a mask and don't have a job and can't feed your family. But sure, they're misrepresenting data to confuse the people that are living what you just saw. Sweden never went into an official lockdown, but an estimated 1.5 million have self-isolated, largely the elderly and those in risk groups. So there you go. The point is that they're adults and honest and individuals that can do their own thing. They can make decisions for themselves. And even within that, people self-isolated themselves. But you see, the other way in these countries, they just acted like you were children, like you couldn't decide for yourself because fake news and conspiracy theory. And so they have to step in and tell you what to do for the rest of your life. It says recent data suggests that cases are yet again spiking in the country. Oh no, look at those cases spiking. It's everywhere. There's no indication the government policies will adapt, right? Because why would they adapt? What do you mean? Adapting implies that they need to change. Like, they don't need to adapt. They are clearly on the right path. It says there is simply no way to justify the magnitude of lives lost, poorer health, and putting people at risk, putting risk groups into long-term isolation, especially not in an effort to reach an unachievable herd immunity. Countries need to take care before adopting the Swedish way. It could have tragic consequences for this pandemic or the next. Dun, dun, dun. Well done, Time. You are straight up propaganda. Unbelievable. But moving on, I just feel like I just want to let this play forever. Like, it just makes me so sad to see that we live in a world where people are too blind to see what's right in front of them. Not even a single person even wearing a mask. Do you realize how what that shows you? There's no argument that can make this reality not what you're seeing right now. This wouldn't exist if what they're saying is true, period. Moving on. I mean, I want to pause this actually so I don't lose the video. But here are some doctors in Netherlands. Here's some other crazy, wild-eyed conspiracy theorists that don't believe in science that are otherwise doctors with PhDs and doctorates that want to tell you that there's science that proves what they're saying. But yeah, you know, anti-science, like they want you to believe. Doctors in Netherlands state, we do not have a pandemic. And this will probably get this video censored, despite the fact that these are medical professionals who have a right to speak their opinion based on the science that they have researched. I believe, actually, I believe I do have this video as well. Let's see.
Hello, I'm Elke de Klerk from the Netherlands, and I want to state that we do not have a medical pandemic or epidemic. We also state that COVID-19 should not be on list A for any longer, because we now know that it is a normal flu virus, and the normal flu virus isn't on list A. So we are also starting a lawsuit to the state of the Netherlands to bring this in with a large group of doctors and a really large group of nurses also, because we have contact with 87,000 nurses that do not want the vaccine that is being prepared for us. I want to state, if there is no pandemic, I am wondering why our kids are in schools with masks. There's absolute constitutional rights, and they cannot be infringed or inflicted for any medical reason. There's no reason for panic. Also in the medical practice, there's no reason for panic. The panic is created by these false positive PCR tests. 89% until 94% of those PCR tests are false positive. They don't test for the COVID-19, and also the rest is false negative. So we have to look at clinics. We have to start looking at clinic. Medical doctors have to stop looking at those tests. That's very important. Let's go back to the clinics and to the facts. We have in the Netherlands now the regular press publishing the news that the PCR test is not a correct test. So I'm very happy about that. So there's hope. Thank you.
Statistics have come out that up until April 2020, there was zero deaths in Ireland. These are the official statistics from the CSO, the Central Statistics Office. The first death was in April. And in the whole country in 2020, we have 98 deaths out of 5 million people. So in Ireland, 30,000 people die every year, 10,000 from cardiovascular disease, 10,000 from cancer. The 98 deaths in Ireland are preventable if they had been given prevention and treatment. And we see now that probably there will be thousands more deaths in Ireland just from cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Now, this was obviously just a clip, a compilation of a, you know, a bunch of different things. Or, I mean, of a bunch of different speakers, I should say. I'm blanking on the Irish woman's name right now. If somebody could share that in the chat for me. I don't know why that's off center. She's somebody that I recommend everybody pay attention to. I haven't had a chance to interview her myself, but I don't need to expound on what they're saying. These are medical professionals, period. These people have a right to speak their opinion, who are experts in their field, who are speaking out about what's going on right now. And they are the ones being censored. This is the woman for the medical professional from Netherlands is telling us, look, even our mainstream media is now coming out and saying these tests shouldn't be used for this. And yet, from a worldwide scale, they are still being forced in. And YouTube is still censoring if you talk about things that go against what they're saying. Despite the fact that entire countries are coming out and saying this right now. Do you know how ridiculous is Dolores Cahill? Thank you. Do you remember how ridiculous this is going to get? And already is. If we get to a point to where entire medical professions and organizations and countries are standing up and saying, look, the science is not around masks, or the lockdowns don't work, like the World Health Organization is saying now. And yet YouTube will censor you for it anyway. And it will get to a point to where it's an absolute undeniable fact, and your video will still be censored. Think about how ridiculous that is and how disgusting that is. And they're doing this on purpose. And understand, the worst part is that they know that they're doing that. They may convince themselves at some level that it's for some greater good, but I know at most levels, these people understand that they're doing something that's dishonest. At a core value, that they're doing this because they just don't agree with what that person's trying to say. And this is just bad. I mean, these people are telling you stuff that you should be listening to. At the very least, you should be allowed to consider. Not today. Not in this world. Because they're controlling everything you're listening to. Now think about, while they have you in these lockdowns and while everything's being forced on you and everything that we just talked about. Think about that in reality to this next part that is not meant to be a discussion of how you should be treating yourself, other than just a general discussion of how you should always be taking these vitamins because they're good for you. But the idea that there's an interesting side effect of not being in the sun, and whether or not that's an actual, that's a choice that seems to add to the litany of other choices that lead in the direction of making you more sick, or it's just a byproduct of incompetence and bad choices. At the end of the day, you not being in the sun is depriving you of vitamin D, specifically vitamin D3, which is what you really need, has a untold effect on your immune system. So it's weird how all the things that are happening are converging in a perfect storm that creates you to get sick. An estimate of the economic burden and premature death due to vitamin D deficiency in Canada. 2010, the study's not related to COVID-19. It's just simply making the point that says the objective of the work was to estimate the economic burden and premature death rate in Canada attributable to low serum 25-hydroxyvitamin D, 25-OHD levels. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to many diseases and conditions in addition to bone diseases, including many types of cancer, several bacterial and viral infections, autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular disease, you know, the thing that they're also pinning on COVID-19, and adverse pregnancy outcomes. The types of studies useful in this regard include randomized controlled trials, you know, like we're supposed to listen to. It is estimated that the death rate could fall by 37,000%. This is just, 37,000 deaths. This is 2010. This is long before. Representing 16% of annual deaths and the economic burden, $14.4 billion. Now, that's huge. 16% of the total deaths, $14 billion. This is just from people not having enough sun, or more specifically, not enough vitamin D. So then take that and say, what happens if nobody goes outside for 9 months, right? What happens if they stay in their room forever? Well, I'd imagine that gets worse. I'm not going to try to pretend I know what those numbers will be, but if this is happening just by normal default lack of vitamin D and sun, can you imagine what's happening right now? And then realize that if it says that it's estimated the death rate could fall by 37,000 deaths by giving people more vitamin D, can you imagine the dramatic increase in deaths in the same way if they don't have more sun and more vitamin D? So then you could argue that maybe the dramatic increase in deaths could be at least in part due to something like this. And that's not controversial. This is a basic reality of we should be taking vitamins that we're not. And the reality that that's something we're being deprived of with these lockdown measures. And this is what they just spoke on, right? This is what Scott Atlas just said, that the lockdowns are creating all these problems. People are getting sick. They're getting anxious. They're getting suicidal. They're getting everything. And then their teeth are cracking and their breath stinks. And there's rashes all around their faces. And yay, lockdowns, freedom, right? Based on numbers that aren't there. Vitamin D and multiple health outcomes. This is actually the same article. You can see that linked part right there at the bottom based on multiple that was the one, right? Oh, that's strange. Oh, that's what I did. This is just another study. This was first, actually. Another study in 2010. Vitamin D and multiple health outcomes in the Harvard cohorts. Just wanted to show you that it's not the same thing. Not that this is new, but just so you know, based on multiple observed benefits of vitamin D, the article postulates that recommendations for vitamin D intake in the U.S. population for reduced incidence of multiple health outcomes, meaning take vitamin D, you'll be much healthier. And they can guess at how much death and so on. But it's a guarantee that a further and dramatic and on a dime lack of vitamin D will obviously increase the deaths and continued health problems. That's a fact. And that's where we are right now. And then this is the same study, as you can see by the bottom. I just want to show you some comments people had. And these are from, this is supposed to be in regard to, this is ResearchGate, so these are scientific comments from other scientists and cohorts and so on. It says vitamin D deficiency has been proposed as a link between cancer and lack of sun exposure. This hypothesis is supported by large prospective studies which show that vitamin D deficiency is associated with increased risk of several types of cancer. This one says over the past 15 years, more than 90,000 cohort studies about the correlation between vitamin D deficiency and cancer were published, showing you clearly that there is just this is increasing a lot right now. And we already showed you this one. No sun as well for the elderly person stuck inside, as well as people that aren't allowed to leave their homes. And then, of course, just to add on top of this before we switch topics here, the fact that on top of all of it, well, the UK is also telling you, oh, by the way, you can't have sex with people that are at risk. They're now controlling your sex lives, too. It says coronavirus cases are surging, the cases, mind you, surging in Europe and the UK, where the deaths are remaining stagnant, which forced the government this week to roll, forced, right? They were forced to roll out. And this is, they give you the illusion of doing it for your safety. They weren't forced. They're controlling your lives based on things that aren't there. To roll out new three-tier lockdown system that banned casual sex with people from different households. So it's not just at-risk people. You just simply can't go out and have sex with somebody from another house. Gee, I wonder if this has anything to do with, you know, slowing down reproduction. I don't know. The idea that they can eat, the presumption, the gall they have that they can step in and tell you what you can do in your sexual life is unbelievable to me. I just, this is the world we're in. If you can't see how they're trying to control every single part of your life, then you're just not paying attention. It's coming from every single angle, guys. Now, on to the vaccine to finish this off. Most of these will probably get broken up because this part is actually really, really important. And I hope we've got a good crowd staying through to the end here. Halted trials raise new safety questions about rushed COVID-19 vaccines. We've all seen this. It's continuing to continue. Just more problems and more issues based on a vaccine that, by the way, has been rushed, not really tested like it should be, hasn't been tested on animals, is a genetically modifying vaccine that they don't know what's going to... I mean, this is just an obvious, ridiculous science experiment. And that's why they're continuing to have more problems, because they've barely tested this thing. Remember when I just showed you the amount of people they're using? It boils down to about 7 or 8 people in some of these studies having the kind of result they need, and they can move forward. And then they're going to follow you for 24 months after you get it, because that's when the real test begins. That's the pharmacovigilance. But we're having problems. We keep seeing this. Oh, and by the way, Pfizer also said they're going to start testing on children, because that totally makes sense, right? The children that have a 0% chance of dying, and we're testing this on them, which has genetic side effects, which is not even necessarily the same as, I mean, for crying out loud, this is criminal. All of this is criminal, but this is just next level. This is sinister. But of course, because they're parents that are willing to allow it to happen, they'll jump forward. Which is the part where I showed you this earlier, when you need to realize that they have examples and exemptions for doing things that they pretend aren't possible, such as testing things on you that you're not aware of. And here are the exemptions right here. Of course, they state you need informed consent, but I already told you before, this is something that can very easily be sidestepped and has been constantly throughout history. So if it says any peaceful purpose related to medical, therapeutic, or any other activities, they can test on you without your knowledge, or arguably with your knowledge. Or a purpose related to protection from toxic chemicals or biological weapons, which is kind of the argument being made in some way here, that this is all about keeping you safe from whatever this thing is, the China virus, or riots. Because you can get permission from people in a riot. Makes sense. Anyway, just know that there are caveats for choosing to do this, like the U.S. government has done 239 times in their history without your knowledge. But as we know, we keep hearing ad nauseum from all the Trump supporters who just don't want to believe that everything happening right in front of them is, I guess, going to happen. Trump says he won't force Americans to take over. By the way, he's already said this. So I don't know why this one interview was, obviously because this was discussed. This was part of the agenda, including with his followers, to be like, this is what we need to push out. He said it, so it's going to happen, right? He also said we were leaving Syria. He also said we were leaving Iraq. He also said a lot of things that didn't happen, because that's what politicians do. But he's not a politician. Sure, keep telling yourself that. Trump says he won't force Americans to take COVID-19 vaccine. I mean, do I really need to continue to reiterate that just because somebody says something doesn't mean it will happen? I mean, even if he believes that right now, who knows what'll happen tomorrow when all of a sudden there's a new bioweapon or there's a new pandemic too, and it's way more severe and now we need the vaccine. And then, of course, the supporters at that time will say, well, no, he wasn't going to force it, but now he is because we're all in danger. There's always an excuse. And the people that want to buy it will always buy it. Just like I said in the beginning of all this, when I said that Trump would be pushing the vaccine, when I said Trump would be the one promoting the vaccine, and the Trump supporters said, that'll never happen. Well, here we are. They go, well, no, he's not. He's going to do... I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care if it's even a psyop that he'll eventually go away from. I told you it would happen. Here he is pushing it. That's all I said. Could be a psyop, could be a fake, could be a psych out for the deep state, could be fighting the Democrats. It doesn't matter. It happens. That's what we keep trying to show you. Politics are always the same. They say a lot of things, and they very rarely happen the way they say they should, or say that they will. So in this case, when he stands up and says something, well, it's just a guy saying something. And maybe he even means it. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. He said this more than once already. It says, and this is the worst, this is what bothers me about even people that believe in him. This is Zero Hedge writing, this is Zero Hedge writing this paragraph. If President Trump is reelected, Americans who are concerned about what some experts have characterized as a rushed approval process, what are these even in quotes? It's Trump has said it's rushed. But you see, because they're bending over backwards to try to make it pro-Trump, they have to put it in, quote, rushed approval process. It's obviously rushed. That's Operation Warp Speed. God, politics is ruining this country. It says approved process. It says experts have characterized this as a rushed approval process for COVID-19 vaccine. Won't need to worry about being forced to accept the vaccine and vaccinate their children. So they're just stating, as a matter of fact, that if Trump gets reelected, well, no, you won't have to get it forced. Why? Because Trump said he won't issue a mandate. Really, Zero Hedge? Like, you're really just going to blindly take a person at their word? I know you're smarter than that. But this is the problem with where we are, with our broken two-party system. Even intelligent people get brainwashed by the illusion. And sure, he did say it. I'm not arguing he didn't. And I, you know what? My honest opinion, I don't think he will mandate it. But that's the point of the show here at this part of the topic. He says, I don't believe I'd ever do a mandate vaccine. I just don't think I would do that. Well, that sure sounds certain. I don't believe, I don't think. God, you guys are, if you, it's just so naive to think that someone can say that and you're going to be like, see, it's not going to happen. But don't forget that it's already happening, guys. That's the point. It's already happening. Remember, we talked about this already? ID 2020 Defector speaks on techno-solutionism with immunity passports. Your ID 2020 that's already coming your way. The new future of the national ID and the biometric world we're building. Here's what she said. This is the whistleblower in regard to the ID 2020. She said, at this stage, I can no longer even describe what ID 2020's mission is with any confidence. This is one of six members of the ID 2020 technical advisory team. It says, all I can perceive is a desire to promote decentralized identity solutions at all costs. At all costs. So she quit. She says the introduction of immunity passes could interfere with people's privacy, freedom of association, assembly, and movement. Yeah, you don't say. She quit over the concern that the immunity passports would do exactly what they're doing. Here we are, August 6th. ID 2020 certifies block bioscience immunity passport with self-sovereign approach to digital ID. ID 2020 certified digital ID immunity passport developed by block bioscience. It says this tool is the first certified by the organization for COVID-19 health status. Now, of course, they always say that, well, your information will be yours, just like the UK told people about contact tracing, and then they sold it to marketers. If you ever believe that they're not going to sell your data, then you're just not paying attention. Every time throughout history, they always have, every single time, and they always lie to you and you always buy it. It says, as we consider digital ID-based solutions for public health applications, getting the technology right is not negotiable. We initially set a high bar for certification and are delighted to recognize the Block Biosense Science Immunity Passport solution for meeting our high standards for privacy protection, user management, portability, and more. The precedents we set now will set the standard for how the future unfolds. Exactly what we're worried about. But you see, when we try to point out that exact point, that what they're doing is setting precedents for our future, and we want to say in that, they call you crazy and they tell you to shut up. And then they build your future anyway. Sounds like a democracy, doesn't it? Sounds like a representative government where you have no control whatsoever over the direction of your life. Yeah, those things don't sound like they make sense. Well, that's what's happening, and they're sure calling it democracy. Well, whatever. Let's just put our head back in the sand. It says there are currently over 30 technology providers who have submitted applications to confirm their technologies align with ID 2020's requirements. But yeah, it's all fake news though, right? Identity passports are immunity passports are fake, according to blue checks on social media. Here's the World Health Organization. Immunity passports in the context of COVID-19, who has published guidance on adjusting public health and social measures for the next phase of COVID-19 response. Immunity passports would enable individuals to travel to or return to work, assuming that they are protected against reinfection. Now, of course, this article is actually more about arguing that we're not there yet. Not that we shouldn't have immunity passports, but that we can't prove whether they're actually have immunity yet. So they're arguing, whoa, hold that, hold the immunity passports until we get there, right? So even then, this is the argument. But here's, there's two more. There's the Lancet next. But this is from privacyinternational.org. The looming disaster of immunity passports and digital identity. A digital ID that proves immunity will raise serious human rights issues. Now, let me make sure I didn't just skip over the point here, guys. This is literally happening right now. This is IE 2020 that you don't have a choice on, that is including immunity passports in regard to its approach to... So look at it this way. If you can't get your IE 2020 without proving you've had your vaccine, and even if Trump doesn't mandate it, you won't be able to drive your car. You won't be able to leave the country. You won't be able to do anything that requires an identification card. So even if Trump doesn't mandate it, it doesn't matter. And clearly, he's aware of that. Now, that's my opinion, because I know you know I believe he's completely involved in all of this, but at the end of the day, it's irrelevant. It's happening anyway. All I'm trying to do is get people out there that are lost in the two-party paradigm to realize that all it boils down to is your government trying to control your life. If you choose to believe that Trump just won't do that, and then it happens and you just tell yourself that he lost, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if Trump loses and they win, or it was all part of the plan? However it goes, are you willing to sit back and allow it to go forward? And just simply trusting one side or the other does not do anything for you. As Americans, if we can recognize that our government is doing this to us, we instantaneously have control of the situation. Or at least more control of the situation. As we're sitting here staring at this actually happening right in front of us, like as we're literally watching them discuss the immunity passports that will be needed in order to allow you to assume work and go back to your life, we can't pretend like this won't change everything irrevocably once it comes out. It says the digital ID, remember this is privacyinternational.org, a digital ID that proves immunity will raise serious human rights issues. And the failure of the digital ID industry to deal with the issues of exclusion, exploitation, and discrimination puts the entire industry under question. They straight up called them out on this. It's the digital ID industry that is driving this bus, and they don't even care about why or what it will affect. They're just pushing this in like crazy because they know that they can right now. And they know that the government, for whatever reason you want to put on them, is absolutely willing to go along with that. And you've heard my reasons for it, why I think they're doing it. Now, here's the key findings. Some of them: immunity passports are being hyped as a solution to ending lockdowns around the world by actors, including the proponents of digital identity, the digital identity industry, think tanks, and travel industry. So nothing that has anything to do with keeping you safe. The nature of what information would be held on an immunity passport is currently unknown. I wonder why. The social risks of immunity passports are great. It serves as a route to discrimination and exclusion, particularly if the powers to view these passports falls on people's employers or the police, which you know that it will. So your personal information is going to be used and exchanged as papers, please. The digital identity industry, pushing their own products as immunity passport solutions, is failing to protect against these harms. They are interested in building wider digital identity systems based on their pre-existing models rather than developing a genuine solution to the risks of these passports. Right. So they're pushing in something they already had going from before and just using COVID-19 as the justification. Where have you heard that before? That's right, on this show. Now, there was only a few points, I think, in here I wanted to point out. It's a really long article. There's a lot of good stuff in here, by the way. But as they say, who is hyping immunity passport solution? I already kind of read it in the bullet points, but just really take this point in. First, it says the executive director of ID 2020 obviously has a vested interest in making this happen. He said in a paper entitled Immunity Certificates, if we must have them, we must do it right. So there's a reason this is so, it's intertwined, because even the executive director of ID 2020 is an open and active proponent of making this part and parcel, one and the same. Second, the digital identity industry. So far, people that obviously stand to benefit directly from pushing this in. Do we believe the digital identity industry cares at all about your safety? Or any industry for that matter? It's like Trump pretending that Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson are concerned about your safety before their profit. That's just ignorant. Or deceptive. Intentionally. However you want to look at it. Third, the visionaries. It says the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change has continued to push for this issue. Big surprise there. Taking one of the more extreme positions on immunity passports, of course. The visionaries, like the Bill Gates of the world and these think tanks that are clearly pushing this idea. Fourth, the travel industry. As we already showed you, Derek already wrote about this in regard to the lobbyists for airliners. This is the future that they're already putting together right now, guys. And Trump knows this. He's well aware of this. So he's more than willing to say, I'm not going to force it on you, because he knows that there's other ways this will go. Now, The Lancet continues on this topic. The scientific and ethical feasibility of immunity passports. The bottom line of this, which is long as well, is, well, let's kind of wring our hands over a couple of things, but then come around to the conclusion that we need this and it's going to happen, right? That's the point of it. You don't read it. I hope you'll read everything in here, but this boils down to a pretend concern with then a reiteration of why this needs to happen. It says we respond to the ethical arguments against immunity passports and give the positive ethical arguments, right? You're taking a stance, essentially. It's not a study. You're arguing for something. It says a strong presumption should be in favor of preserving people's free movement, if at all feasible. And of course, the illusion with that statement is that the freedom comes from the passports. They make that very clear in the argument here. That the argument that COVID-19 has restricted our movements. No, you have. The government has. Your illegal, unjust, and unjustified actions have led us to be not free. We can't move around. To pretend that the COVID-19 monster has done this to us is a complete misrepresentation, and they know that. So what they're arguing is that based because they put you in this position, that you need the immunity passport to be able to give you back your free movement. You know that thing that's a basic human right according to the UN, that they all just robbed from you and no one turned a head about it? It says further individual and social benefits are likely to accrue from allowing people to engage in free movement. Again, allowing you to go back to the thing that shouldn't be allowed to be taken away from you. Allowing you with your immunity passport. We don't need to be sold on the benefits of free movement. We all know that. You're trying to pretend like we don't get it without the immunity passport, and that's dishonest. Challenges relating to the implementation of immunity passports ought to be met with targeted solutions so as to maximize the benefit. So, end of the day, it's going to happen. So, let's make sure we just find the good way to do this. Now, it says, excuse me today, it says, lockdown measures considerably curtail people's freedom. Finally, say it real. Then it says immunity passports would potentially allow some proportion of the population to access more freedoms during lockdown periods. I see why they said it like that, because they're never going away. Well, because lockdowns are part of your future. So now with your immunity passport, well, then you could show your passport when you're good and get to walk out of your continually ongoing, you know, annual lockdowns. That's why they said it like that. Because it's not going away. And your immunity passport is the foregone conclusion, even according to Lancet. It is unethical, they say, to restrict freedom unless there's a real risk to other people. No, you don't get to add the caveat. It is unethical and actually illegal to restrict freedom, period. You don't get to be like, well, there's a monster behind you, and now you're not free. Right? That's what's happening right now. It says, if we have a technology to decide who is not at risk, we should use it. Thank you. Thank you for throwing in and telling us we need immunity passports, which is coming, guys. If you can't see that by now with The Lancet, with all of these groups, the World Health Organization, biometric.com, they're all telling you it's coming. We're already certifying different groups to work with right now. Oh, that's right. By the way, here's the Delta CEO saying, yeah, passports, talking about immunity passports for air travel. This was back in April. This is right before, I think, the time when the lobbyists came out and said this is what they were going to do. That is their reality. So even if Trump is saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you guys forced vaccinations. I'm just going to force you to take them through societal and economic exclusion, which is the same thing. It's the same thing, and you know it. Of course, all the people that want to support him will argue to the death. But to end the show, a few facts. Now, this actually is an article that's been updated. Updated September 2020. I went over this, I think, 4 months ago. And they good on them. Swiss Policy Research has been updating the information. Let's go over some facts according to Swiss Policy Research. Now, by the way, every single thing they list in here is sourced with a link. Every single part. Number one, according to the latest immunological studies, the overall lethality of COVID-19, the infection fatality rate in the general population ranges between 0.1 and 0.5 in most countries. Now, I argue even the 0.5 aspect is simply because of faulty tests, misinformation, misattributed deaths. That's my opinion. Because even Swiss Policy Research, before they updated this in September, simply said 0.1%. So even they seem to be pressured, or at least adding the caveat, oh, well, but even 0.5, understand, is much more than where we are. But it says, which, by the way, nonetheless, even 0.1 to 0.5, which is comparable to the medium influenza pandemics. But before, it just said comparable to a flu, which, by the way, since we're on it, is exactly what even the World Health Organization is saying. So when YouTube censors this video, which they inevitably will, you can laugh out loud that they're censoring the World Health Organization claim, as they tell me I'm challenging the claims of the World Health Organization. Perfect. I mean, it's perfectly clown world for everything that they're doing. But you can go through these. I mean, guy, look, you can, I mean, I argue that most of these are probably inaccurate to one degree or another. But do you notice one thing quite clearly? None of them are even close to the 1%, 3.5%, or 6%. The things they tried to sell you that put you on lockdown, by the way, that they have never given back to you, even though we're light years from where they said in the beginning. The USA even says 0.26, Brazil 0.17, Iceland 0.3, Switzerland 0.3, India 0.07. Africa, 0.01. Doesn't that make zero sense that Africa is always the place they tell us, oh, they're the most at risk because they've got no, oh, well, they're clearly fine. Global, 0.27, it says. Austria, 0.26. Sweden, 0.35. Slovenia, 0.16. Right? And Sweden is sitting there with 0.35, living their lives like normal. Hey, how's it going? You know, no big deal. Unbelievable. 0.16, Germany 0.36, Iran 0.12, 0.1, 0.1, 0.2, 0.08, right? Combine all those. We are nowhere near what they said it was. And based on the numbers we're staring at, I mean, actually the numbers that are being reported directly from these locations are put you at about 0.1, 0.1 something of the flu. And I guarantee you they're going to censor based on saying something like that, despite literally pointing to the World Health Organization information. So that's what they're saying right there. And yet the media is still right now, you know, locking people down, restricting countries, putting people on curfews based on the fact that this is nothing like we were told, or based on the lie that it is. It says in countries like the UK with lockdown and Sweden without lockdown, overall mortality since the beginning of the year is in range of a strong influenza. Excuse me. Dang it. Strong influenza season. Mortality is higher in the USA. Yeah, obviously. In the countries like the UK with lockdown versus without, overall mortality since the beginning of the year is in a strong, even, okay, think of what they're saying right there. So, lockdown or not, actions or not, they're both in the range of a strong influenza season. Except in the United States, where maybe they're lying about everything. I mean, who ultimately knows what the caveat is? Or they were the ones that did this, or who knows? At the end of the day, they're straight up telling you, based on the information, that it's about as severe as a strong influenza season. Even in Sweden with no action, or UK with everything. But sure, lock down and be scared, everybody. Run inside. It says in most places, the risk of death for the healthy general population of school and working age is comparable to a daily car ride to work. The risk of death from what's happening right now is about as dangerous as driving your car to work. That is, again, all cited, all sourced, every part of this, guys. Just to show you an example, here's the one about the mortality. Right? All of these are cited, and all of them have stats and verifiable source material. But they'll probably censor it anyway because they don't like source material. They like people that blindly listen to the mainstream media. It says the risk was initially overestimated or lied about because many people with only mild or no symptoms were not taken into account. Over 80% of all people developed only mild symptoms or no symptoms. Even among 70 to 79 year olds, about 60% develop only mild symptoms. About 95% of all people develop at most moderate symptoms and do not require hospitalization. But sure, be scared. Pandemic. But don't worry, Netherlands just said we're not in a pandemic, and so did Ireland, and so did about most of the world now is beginning to say, yeah, it's not really that. But the U.S. is doubling down because that's what they do. Up to 60% of all people may have already had a partial T-cell immunity response because of old stuff. You know, like the cold, which, by the way, would have triggered these tests and made people think that they were sick. So maybe all of these asymptomatic, all these things we kept hearing, but nobody wants to talk about that either. Moreover, up to 60% of children and about 6% of adults may already have cross-reactive antibodies. 60% of children. The median age of COVID deaths in most Western countries is over 80 years old. Only about 4% of the deceased had no serious preconditions. Over 80 years old, only about 4% had no serious preconditions. In many countries, up to 2/3 of all the deaths occurred in nursing homes, like the United States, which do not benefit from a general lockdown. So that's because of people getting sick in old nursing homes, and also with the fact that they're, especially in the United States, dumping in COVID-19 people. Moreover, in many cases, it is not clear whether these people really die from COVID-19 or weeks from extreme stress and isolation. It says countries without lockdown, such as Japan, Belarus, and Sweden, have not experienced a more negative course of events than many other countries. Let's just make sure we heard that. Countries without lockdowns like Japan, Belarus, and Sweden have not experienced a more negative course of events than many other countries. And yet Time Magazine took it upon itself to just aggressively attack even the smallest things they did, which are way worse in most other places. Because that's honest journalism. It says the fear of shortage of ventilators was unjustified. According to lung specialists, the invasive ventilation intubation of COVID-19 patients, which was partly done out of fear of spreading the virus, is in fact often counterproductive or damaging to the lungs. That's stated as an absolute fact on Swiss Policy Research. And yet in this country, we are still producing them and still using them. And Time Magazine even attacked Sweden for not using them. How in the hell can we be in a position where we can see something so obvious and even other reputable study groups are pointing out the facts? It's dangerous. And yet they argue that they should be doing it. There's clearly cross purposes here, guys. There's clearly some level, some entity involved that wants you to be sick. That's my opinion. I just don't know how you can keep seeing these, you know, the fact that we can see the obvious example and then have leading experts come out and just straight up state the opposite. It's crazy. It says there is still little to no scientific evidence of the effectiveness of cloth masks in the general population, which, by the way, we already showed you at that one. Yes, we already showed you right here. Moisture retention, increased risk of infection, statistically higher in every possible way. We know this, and they're stating it. This is based on NIH science and the information we've shown you that no one has countered, but yet we're still crazy for saying it. And the introduction of mandatory masks couldn't contain the slow the epidemic in most countries. Wait, it says there's little to no scientific evidence for the effectiveness of cloth masks in general population, and the introduction of mandatory masks couldn't contain or slow the epidemic in most countries. You realize how contradictory that is? And that's a simple fact. The introducing of the forcing people to wear these masks didn't actually have an effect in most countries. And even the ones that they did, there's plenty of examples of how other actions they took were in fact the catalyst for why they had a difference. It says some experts warn that face masks may interfere with normal breathing and may become germ carriers if used repeatedly. We already showed you on this very show. Several media were caught trying to dramatize the situation in hospitals, sometimes even with manipulative images and videos. In general, the unprofessional reporting of many media maximized fear and panic in the population. And let's pretend like that wasn't planned and exactly what they were supposed to do. The virus test kits used intentionally may in some cases produce false positives and false negative results. Yep. At no time was there a medical reason for the closure of elementary schools, as the risk of disease and transmission in children is extremely low. There's also no medical reason for small classes, masks, or social distancing rules in elementary schools. They're doing it anyway, though. Trust the science, though, right? A 2019 World Health Organization study on measures against pandemic influenza found that from a medical perspective, contact tracing is not recommended in any circumstances. In 2019, just like they said about masks before they suddenly changed it based on political pressure, a study from the World Health Organization in 2019 said that their contact tracing should be used never. Is not recommended in any circumstances. Nevertheless, contact tracing apps have already become partially mandatory in several countries, and right now are being used and rolled out all around this country, despite the fact that they knew that they were dangerous and bad and all didn't work. And we're finding that out right now. It's sort of like the war on terror analogy, where they had so much information, they don't even know where to look. All you get to do is find out after the fact who was responsible. That's mass data collection. They know that, though, because it's not about the terrorists. It's about you. It's about knowing what you're doing. So they knew contact tracing was bad, and they just wanted it because it's bad. They don't want it because it helps. They want it because of that bad reason. They want it because of the lack of privacy. They want it because they can control you and know where you are and any number of things. So they literally chose it because of exactly why these studies said we shouldn't be using it. Now it says the origin of the new coronavirus remains unknown. Yeah, let's make sure we all remember that. The origin of this new coronavirus or whatever it is we're talking about remains unknown. But the best evidence currently points to, as they say, COVID-like pneumonia incident in a Chinese mine in 2012, the viral samples of which were collected, stored, and examined by the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, I'm actually going to dive into that more, I think, in the next couple of days. I hadn't known much about that. But what I find most interesting about that before I end today is it turns out they found something, and this is that RTB, virus thing that they've talked about that's very similar to COVID-19, but they came out and said, no, it's not this, it's different. And then we all kind of just put it to bed to some degree. But what this article is arguing that they linked to here is that what they found there was what they then used to create what we're dealing with right now. Very interesting. Or at least that's how I take it. They're arguing something different. But the interesting point is that, remember, in 2012, and then all the way until during Trump's administration, the U.S. government was the one leading the research in that, first in places in the United States like Fort Detrick, and then in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So they had access to this material. So think about how interesting that is and ask yourself whether or not that was used and that's what we're staring at. Nonetheless, all these facts about COVID-19 are just completely ignored by the mainstream media. Despite the source material, the scientific back, the experts and their source material claiming these things. I mean, it's staggering. And again, to end and realize that they're telling you right now where we actually are. And they're just continuing to just use the media to scare you. Don't let it happen. Don't let Macron put you on nightly curfews while you're living in a location where you're living in a world that is dealing with something that is arguably a serious flu, if not better. And then, of course, we can also look at, I mean, I do this every time. I don't need to show you every time, guys. The cases on these things are not there, or the deaths. They keep screaming about the cases. At the end of the day, it's not there. So as Macron is giving you nightly curfews based on something that's not as dangerous, we're being told, that is dramatically less, I mean, literally every metric they've told you is less than what they first said it was, which means they were wrong about everything. And as it's clearly not as dangerous, as we're seeing Sweden literally live the example of what should be happening, all they can do as the deaths continue to decrease is scream about cases and restrict your freedoms even more in hopes that they can do something or wait for something to happen again to where they can justify the continuance of what they're doing. And on that note, I end with the reality of this article that I really hope you will dive into yet again. Excellent article from Derek Bros. The rise of authoritarianism from parasite stress theory to lockstep. And as you, if you remember this, I've talked about this many times, excellent work by Derek pointing out two studies, I believe, that clearly point out that a government wanting to create authoritarian control, if they wanted to, using a virus to scare people into that direction is a guaranteed way to achieve it. It says, due to the inevitable nature of disease-causing parasites, historically depended substantially on adhering adherence to ritualized behavioral practices. It says that society tends to promote a collectivist worldview, the researchers found, favoring obedience and conformity from the population in response to parasites, which could mean any number of things, including viruses, as they point out in the studies. But one thing they made clear was it didn't even need to be a legitimate parasite. It just had to be something enough to scare people into these actions. Unfortunately, it says, according to the parasite stress theory, humanity is prone to accepting violent behavior from governments during pandemics and trust that they know this, which explains why they seemingly don't care that the numbers aren't there. They're just going to try to scare you to keep their control or push in further. It says, as noted in Politics and Pathogens, the threat of exposure to a pathogen need not even be realistic for it to create a desire for conformity and obedience to authority. That's what they're doing to you, or trying to. All those people that scream at you for not wearing a mask, or that give you weird looks for not doing what you're, this is what they're them. These are the people that have a desire for conformity and an obedience to authority because they're scared. And the governments know that a pandemic is exactly the way to make that happen. Now, I'm not saying that's what they're doing. I truly think this is what's happening, but I'm not saying I know that. What I'm saying is that hypothetically, if there were a government that was very clear in its actions, showing that they wanted to, you know, topple countries and control populations, you know, whoever that might be, that hypothetical government, if they wanted to create an authoritarian control network, this is exactly how they could do it. And the studies are there, meaning they know of this information, which means they're aware of this. So ask yourself whether or not they might just lean into it or create it from whole cloth. You know, because that's just not possible, right? It says the authors also note that a government which desired more authoritarian powers, including full-blown fascism or genocide, could achieve this by, quote, promoting widespread mortality and morbidity from infectious disease. So right now, by using the scaring you that you're going to die by mortality and morbidity because of these diseases, they can drive people to fascism. And willingly so. And Jesus, can we not see it happening right now? It says these patterns arise in part from the reverence collectivists place on people in authority, authoritarianism, which gives those in authority greater freedom to violate the interests of the populace and impunity when such violations occur. Seems pretty damn clear to me, guys. I don't know about you. But I think we should be maybe asking the question of whether or not this might be what's happening right now. And you know, whether or not they might be abusing the situation. Or what I would think maybe, you know, allowing this to happen entirely so they can take control of something they've been trying to for decades. If not from the very beginning. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's clear. I think there's, I will never speak to you in absolute certainties in the sense that I, you know, this is 100% what's happening, but I'm based on what we're staring at and the lies and the way it's going forward and the conscious choice of these people to not include obvious things. At the very least, it's clear that there's some counter agenda happening right now. And I mean counter in regard to what Americans think is happening. It's so incredibly apparent that there's some deception happening here. And it's time for Americans to just stand back, remove themselves from the two-party illusion, and just realize that your government is deceiving you. Even if you really believe Trump will save the day, the point is still to stand back and be like, the government is screwing us. So Trump, go ahead and do your thing. But the government is screwing us. Like, we need to see it as all one thing. And I think that's illogical what I just said, because I truly think that Trump is 100% involved in all the stuff that's happening. But I just wish people could stand back and pull themselves out of their wishful thinking, because that's what it really is. Politics is adult fairy tales. We are hoping that one person is going to be our savior. And that in and of itself is the entire fallacy of the party system. It's just time that we start speaking up. And I'll tell you right now, guys, my voice won't be here much longer on YouTube. It's probably a blessing in disguise. As you all know, I will not stop. I'll still be broadcasting on every other platform, including the one that's soon to come. But they will remove us. So join the chorus. Stand up and speak what you believe in. Because it just, there's a tipping point coming, guys. And if we get enough people standing up and screaming that they do not believe what they're saying, and we don't care who you censor and what you do, we are going to stand our ground. Believe me, they will back down. Doesn't mean they're going to stop. They've never stopped. Historically speaking, they've never stopped. They just keep readjusting and trying. But this is the game we're playing. So join me in standing up for what we believe in, standing up for our rights. Standing up for the only thing that really matters, which is our freedom as societies, as humanity, as all of us, as they get us to fight against each other. So petty. I love you all. Thank you for being here and thinking for yourselves. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
باش الشركات الرأسمالية تحصل أموال. الأمصال لا تباع، الدواء لا يباع. إذا كانت هي تباع بثمن غالي معناها تجارة. اعلنوا قولوا الدواء مجاني. الأمصال المجانية مش حتنتشر الفيروسات اللي خلقوا فيها باش يعملوا أمصال وباش تكسب منها الشركات الرأسمالية. المصانع تشتغل
بتاعت المخابرات.